This free program is paid for by the listeners of WBAI New York. If you're not already a member, think about joining us to help keep free speech alive.
Has hovered around a mere 2% of all construction jobs. Construction jobs are among the few high-paying, blue-collar jobs available in this country, and women have systematically been denied access to them. Those who are lucky enough to be hired in construction jobs face extreme isolation from other women and across-the-board discrimination from unions, contractors, and co-workers, often taking the form of overt sexual harassment and threats of physical violence. Bianca worked in a situation where there was literally no one to turn to for help. We applaud her bravery in standing up to fight, not just for herself, but for all working women, and particularly those in the construction industry. We applaud both her attorney and her young daughters for vowing to continue her lawsuit. On behalf of Bianca, her daughters, and women working in the construction industry or hoping to work there in the future, we demand a full investigation of the circumstances surrounding Bianca's death.
Olszewski was the target of harassment herself, but when she complained to her union, her complaint was handled and the man taken off the job. Olszewski said, however, too often women do complain and the complaints are not dealt with.
Everyone knows sexual harassment and discrimination against women is happening on New York City construction sites because we told them. We have reported these conditions to the Department of Labor, to the Equal Opportunity Commission, to the Human Rights Commission, to the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, to the Office of Federal Contract Compliance Programs, to the Building and Construction Trades Department of the AFL-CIO, to the Attorney General's Office, to the Mayor's, to the Women's Issue Committee of the New York City Council, to our local union officers, field reps, and shop stewards, and to our international unions. We've told everybody, and we've met with catastrophic indifference.
Catastrophic indifference. In 1978, the Department of Labor set affirmative action goals for hiring women on publicly financed construction sites. The objective was to have women's representation rise to 6.9% of the total workforce. In 2000, women still make up only 2.7% of this workforce, one which employs over 5 million Americans. In 1990, under Mayor David Dinkins, the New York City Commission on Human Rights investigated the systematic exclusion of African American, Latino, Asian American, and female workers from many local unions. The findings were published in 1993. Olszewski said 16 years later, the situation hasn't changed much.
47 women testified, some anonymously, some out in the open. All 47 women reported being sexually harassed in some form. And several mentioned receiving death threats because of their decisions to testify back in the 90s. So my own experience has been that every woman has encountered it. Yeah. And what you have is a spectrum of a woman-by-woman response to the situations.
Angela and her group are calling on Mayor Michael Bloomberg and the City Council to institute affirmative action goals of 50% employment for women in all construction companies bidding for city contracts, and for the New York State Governor David Paterson to do the same for state jobs, and for President Obama to invest the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission with a new mandate to investigate and root out harassment of women in the construction industry. I'm Rebecca Miles for WBAI's Evening News.
And that's some of the news for Thursday, November 5th, 2009. The news was produced in New York with Jose Santiago, Rebecca Miles, Dennis Cabajo, Christine Black, and Desi K. Robinson. I'm Andrea Sears in New York for the WBAI, listener-supported news.
The WBAI Evening News has come to you on recording. I imagine this is a WBAI in New York City. We're also heard at the moment on KWMD in Kisilov, Alaska, and on CJLY in Nelson, British Columbia, streaming on the World Wide Web, and this is Radio Unnameable. My name is Bob Fass, and I have some guests this morning who will be discussing, among other things, what has happened to the psyche of America, how we can, well, I'm sure that you are aware that there was an incident of great blood that took place in the United States, in Texas. In Texas, where gunfire and people being shot by those guns is almost part of the daily news every day, but this is sort of an extreme situation where a military, I've heard him described as a psychiatrist, psychologist, has been accused of being now the lone gunman. We have another lone gunman in American history who has shot nearly 50 people inside an army base. Now, I don't know the details. I haven't heard very much. I was listening to WBAI on the way in and learning how to make distillations of catnip. Some people are very, interested in that. It's a technique that can be applied to other herbs as well. Excuse me, I'm in need of some kind of remedification here. I have been struggling with some kind of irritated mucosa all week or two, maybe 2 weeks, actually. It seems to be diminishing now. I've gotten some pretty good medical attention, and I'm doing my best to rest. But the adrenaline begins to fly through my veins when I notice certain things on my TV. I haven't watched much TV in the last couple of years, but I am one of those people who slips from one channel to another very quickly, going down. And I learned something from the juxtaposition. Something when you watch TV, it's very important to keep your eye on it, to watch it, because if not, it's going to come and get you. It's going to make your brain drip out your nose worse than what's dripping out of my nose. So there was this report from Fort Hood, and one channel people were being horrified by it. On another channel, people were crying for revenge. And I just switched because they kept repeating the same news over and over again. And when there's a lockdown in progress, there's also a lockdown on information. So we were treated to, the same report over and over again. And one camera shot of people standing around being locked down, talking about other things, laughing and carrying on. And so I went on the remote control. And, let's see, there was... there was a distraction. Someone whose name is synonymous with distraction, as far as I'm concerned. There was the Amy Fisher, Joe Buttafuoco story. Click! Next, there is a channel where they're selling solid gold watch bands. Click! There is a channel where they are showing the inside of a gorgeous luxury hotel. Click! There's another channel where they're talking about how the stock market, went up today 205 million points, and it's a clear sign that the unemployed are going to be in the army in... So, I pretty much know what happened. But I think about this guy who is a mental health worker of some kind or other, someone who probably for the last, year or so, has been listening to the terrors and the dreams of these guys who've come back from doing democracy around the world, from doing what has to be done to keep America great, to keep the empire empiric. And and he also probably has to deal with the people who are returning from that area of war with their brains destroyed by concussion. Many, many, many people who are suffering from premature, if there's such a word, dementia, whose minds will never be the same any more than if they were concussed in a football game or a traffic accident. So it occurred to me that this was not an ideological crime, that he might have been a kind of a psychiatric Kevorkian. Sometimes you can by reaching very far out for some absolutely absurd, almost comic answer to why something happens, you can sometimes come up with, an alternate interpretation that may not even be the truth of this incident, but is in fact true, that what is going on in the name of our American way of life is insane, just insane, to bring more blood into the world, to try to make people, to win the hearts and minds of the world by killing civilians from now unmanned aircraft. Makes you stop and think, you know. Well, we're not going to be doing any fundraising, as it were, this morning. But every once in a while, I'll remind you that it's possible to go to the WBAI website and support the station. If you hear something on this program that you think would not be likely to have come your way some other radio station, you say, oh, that's why I love WBAI. I remember. Before the infomercials and before the fund drives and before the governance crises, WBAI was the place where people tried to get beyond and underneath what was really going on. And one of my guests this morning, Gerhard Stern, sent me an email that ended with a very important bit of information. I don't know whether I can ask you to recount it or whether I can try to recount it. You might remember it. Gerhard, wait.
I think you can probably recount it better than I can.
You don't remember what you said? Well, you said something that it isn't getting old that makes you stop laughing. It's stopping laughing that makes you get old.
So be it, so be it. Now, I was wondering when I was listening to those reports from Fort Hood, before they even identified, and apparently now there are two other people who were involved, but was this, and I don't mean this as a joke, I mean it as a real question, was this friendly fire or was this unfriendly fire? I mean, if a soldier is taking other soldiers' lives, there's something not only deadly about it, but something deadly morally wrong about it.
Well, yeah. We used to hear fracking during the Vietnam War, where soldiers would turn their guns or their grenades on officers who wanted them to go out there and be heroes.
So, I remember that, yes. And was that like what happened? Will we ever know? Do we ever know what the outcome of this kind of thing is? Even if there are people who get to know it, one of our suspicions our whole adult life long has been that we never get to know it, right?
That's right. The lone gunman. And that's what is. First, there were two or three people who were soldiers who were allegedly helping the shooter. But it turns out that at least the latest reports seem to be that he was a lone gunman, and we know where we will go from there to the grassy knoll. So I have something fairly light that's not very new that I want to play just to begin. We can a bit of recorded material that is the work of someone I was actually privilege to work with when I was acting in a radio play. This is Eddie Lawrence, who was the great philosopher. And this is something that actually comes back from the 50s, but it has some kind of relevance, I believe, to some things that have been going on at WBAI in the last week.
Hiya, jocks. You say you MC a 24-hour telethon for Ringworm, take in $7, pledges and all? And you got over 1,000 requests for Lily Pons records? And here it is the middle of April and the old payola hasn't come through yet? And someone brought you a container coffee with a little lizard in it? And you're forced to plug an album called Harmonica Favorites on Death Row? And somebody sticks last month's headlines under your nose and you're reading them as hot bulletins? Is that what's got you screaming out station breaks on the bus, booby?
Well, wax that beard, put on a pair of spats that spell whoopee. Stop breaking up during live commercials and stretch, stretch, stretch. Don't let the kids see you whimpering. Remember the old adage, watch the charts carefully. I'm talking about those medical charts.
Hey there, Silver Tongue. You say you got caught in a fist fight at the stage delicatessen and got a blueberry blintz up your nose? And your engineer, who's always been a little strange, was picked up as a peeping Tom at a Ukrainian goat milk? And you've been giving out the wrong times all morning, and a lot of your faithful listeners are late for work, and a lot of them got fired and are suing you. And you pay $75 for a ticket to a music benefit and get a seat behind Al Hurt. And you just interviewed an English rock group live, and they said a lot of dirty words over the air, and the mayor's trying to contact you. And a guy hands you a free record and pulls out a badge. And a gang of wild kids with baseball bats are waiting for you in an alley because you said Janis Joplin is over 30. And you married a lady gorilla for publicity and she won't give you a divorce? Is that what's got your brain spinning at 78, Flippo?
Well, change your needle, get your lunch off the turntable. Wait till that health food sponsor finds out you're 5 foot tall and weigh 280 pounds. Oh, hey, this music can last forever. I can see it all now in fourth place. Beethoven's Fifth.
Hey there, cousin. You say you invite your biggest sponsor to dinner and the wife serves him an imitation grape drink and a week-old blowfish? And 2 truckloads of Lanny Ross records just came in? And the mic's open and you don't realize it and you say something terrible about the owner of the station? Lucky nobody was listening. And the head of your fan club, a big, heavy-set girl, was just arrested for attacking an old man in a hotel lobby? And you get a lot of mash notes from someone named Billy, and you find out it's a man. And they bring you up on charges for plugging a medical book entitled Running in Place as a Cure for Acne. And you're broadcasting from the top of a flagpole as a stunt and get a wild hawk up your pants. Does all this seem to cause a strange twanging in your doodad, cousin?
Well, play that thing out loud. Never give up those secret tapes. Keep those chicks out front of the table. Remember, a pretty girl is like a melody. But get 3 or 4 tunes played at once, you can go crazy there.
This is the old philosopher saying, you show me a ring of Hawaiian flowers with bugs in it, and I'll show you a lousy lay.
Far and wide as the eye can wander, heath and moor are everywhere. Not a bird sings out to cheer us. Oaks are standing gaunt and bare. We raining. Winter will in time be past. One day we shall cry rejoicing, homeland dear, you're mine at last. Then the peat bog soldiers will march no more with their spades to the moon.
Sky.
Sky. Sky.
Sky.
Sky. Sky.
Sky.
Sky.
Why? Hi.
Sky.
Lie. Hi.
Sky.
Why? Try.
Try.
My. Hi.
Sky. Why?
My. Tie.
Why?
Die.
Hi.
Way.
Say.
Sky.
Day.
Say.
Way. May.
Hey.
Oi.
They.
Hey.
Pay.
Nay. Day. Day.
Night.
Light.
Bright.
Sight.
Height.
Tight.
Fight. Right.
Might.
Bite.
Kite.
Sight.
Right.
You sight.
I sight. Ice cream.
Ice cream.
Team.
I beam. Ream.
Theme.
Sarah.
Hurrah.
Who saw? Who?
You. Two.
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 And.
Fro.
Low.
Blow.
Bow. Bow.
Wow.
How?
Now.
Row.
Show. So.
What?
Fat.
Cat.
No.
Way.
Safe.
Wait.
Through.
Way.
High.
Way. High. Sky.
Sky.
High.
Piano playing or anything else around here because we're struggling so hard during this fun drive. But if you do want to contribute $40 or so to WBAI to keep the piano playing, to keep Charlie Morrow coming up and playing his music, Gerd Stern, reading his poetry, Bill Propp doing his thing, which is to tell you which about the website.
Oh, so what is my thing? Well, that's right. My thing of the moment is to remind you that even though we won't be besieging you with a request to call 1550 You can pledge overnight by going to the website, if you're online, wbai.org. And I've just found out now from Kathy Davis a little while ago that it is possible to actually specify which program that you want to pledge during. In other words, now, if you like Radio Unnameable, but can't call into the room because it's closed, you can do that online, and there's a way to check off your preference for the program or programs that you like. That's something I just learned. So try that. And I don't know about...
What's the address of the website?
The address of the website is... it's easy to just Google WBAI.org, but of course it's http://www.wbai.org. And from there you can be directed to, well, there's a grid to catch up on a program or two you may have missed. And by going to a certain program now, I believe it's possible. I haven't tried it myself, but you can actually show your support for Radio Unnameable or WBAI in general. How is that for innovation?
Bernie Carrick, if you're out there listening and you want to try to redeem yourself, call WBAI. We will take money from quacks. We will take money from cops. We will take money from practically anyone.
I just thought of a premium that would kind of satisfy all camps. You know, there is a an election. I think it's still going on. So without electioneering, if somebody wanted to hedge all their bets, not knowing who was going to come out on top in this free-for-all, how's this for a premium? Maybe we can combine things. Well, somebody should take, if they're not feeling well, the advice would be to take some oil of wild oregano, infuse that into a dose of measured out NyQuil, and then stir that up, and then pour that into a bowl of chicken soup and heat it up and eat it. Couldn't hurt.
Is this to be taken orally or as an enema?
In any way you want.
I think it should be taken verbally.
Verbally, yeah. That's the safest, I think.
Charlie Morrow, welcome to Radio Unnameable. You've been here many times before. And you have with you an architect and...
And a writer. Translator.
And
sound recorder.
Will you introduce them to the Radio Unnameable audience?
It'd be my pleasure. I have with me Marlena Remes.
I do, Marlena.
Hello.
Marlena.
And John Steigerwald.
Steigerwald, how do you do? You, I know, are an architect.
Yes, here in New York.
Well, you must be very happy that Michael Bloomberg was reelected, even though it was by a pitiful amount. He is undeniably the mayor of all of us, although I voted for Billy Talon.
Me too.
Reverend Billy. But Michael Bloomberg is in favor of building and building and building and building. And you've just done something for him, haven't you, Charlie?
In a way, we have. We've been working on an exhibition at the Steelcase Lobby Gallery, which is at 4 Columbus Circle. It's an exhibition concerned with the new in-progress park, the Roosevelt Four Freedoms Park on Roosevelt Island. The architect, Louis Kahn, designed this, and it took 36 years for it to actually be built, but it's being built now. At some point, I think that we will have Gina Polara, the architect who's behind this project, call in to say a few words. My associates here, John Steigerwald, and worked on the sound installation, along with Tyler Clausen, who was also hoping to call in tonight and say a few words about what he did, because these guys went out to Roosevelt Island, where the park is going to be, and figured out the sound, and that's the sound that we built in 3D that you can hear along with the exhibit at 4 Columbus Circle.
3D, what does that mean in sound?
In sound, it means the sound moves up and down as well as all around, so that, you know, you get this vertical axis, and at that point, you have immersive audio.
And what effect does this have on the auditor?
Well, you feel like you're in a place. It's just very easy to create the sense of a location, or feel like you're in the band, or you feel like that everything's moving around you.
Well, I feel that way anyway.
Well, you've got you covered.
Joey Buttafuoco and Amy Fisher and Fort Hood. Things are going on all around us. And simultaneity.
That's true.
Jared, was it you who told me that they had discovered the reason that we have time?
Maybe you're referring, when you say simultaneity, to my old cliche, which I wrote some years ago. In a world of simultaneous operations, you don't have to be first to be on top.
No, that's not what I'm referring to.
Oh, time.
Just the phrase, the time exists so that everything doesn't happen at once.
This is aside from the fact that time is on our side. Yes, it is.
Time is on our side.
And, yes, it is.
And is it going to cease publication?
Along with life? Wait a minute. How did you like look?
Well, it depends upon what I'm looking at.
Legs, I recommend.
Uh-huh. Well, I don't know. There seems to be a caller. It's probably someone who has their own...
Maybe it's Bob Dobbs from Hawaii.
Maybe it's... no, they stopped... are they there? They hung up.
A moment.
They hung up.
Hang-ups, man, in life, get in the way, right?
I wonder why there aren't people from the news department here tonight trying to... Well, they probably are too wise to do that. They probably know that whatever is going to happen will be... inconsequential because the fix is in to have more money spent for Terra and... More distraction from what we need, health, jobs,
ticker tape
energy,
parades.
Power. Ticker tape parades. Now that's something that we really need more of. We're going to have one tomorrow because the Yankees won the Civil War.
Oh, yeah, right. See, history is with us.
So do you have some kind of a... there's no way you can give us an example of 3D sound over the radio, is there?
I'll click above the microphone, and now I'll click below it. There you go.
Huh.
3D sound.
Well, as you say, it's very easy to do. And you'll be standing where? Snapping your fingers?
They'd be snapping your fingers at 4 Columbus Circle in the steel case building lobby. It's just at the corner of 58th and 8th Avenue. You just pop in the lobby, and exhibits there through the 8th of January.
What is a steel case?
A steel case is a manufacturer of furniture, and they...
Well, we don't want to make a plug out of it, you know.
Okay.
But it's a piece of furniture. It's not like the staircase. It's a steel case.
Correct, a brand name.
Why don't you steal this case?
Why? Please.
That's lawyers do that, steal cases from one another, I guess. Gerard, you were involved in the earliest Pacifica radio. You were...
a colleague of Lou Hill, the poet, another poet, and a marvelous human being who disillusioned us greatly by committing suicide. Yes.
Well, he disintegrated himself as he disillusioned you. So
that's the truth. The whole truth, and nothing is true about something like that, like what happened at Fort Hood. I mean, it's a similar kind of impact. You know, hey, we went through a lot of them, right? JFK, the whole trip, you know. How many people have we lost that you and I have known together? I don't even want to do the count.
We lost a member of the WBAI staff this week as well, Tony.
Right.
Tony Short checked out. And my first reaction when I heard about her death was, I wonder if we had had a health plan here at WBAI rather than what seemed to be grossly inflated salaries and bonuses for some of the people at the top of the organization, whether we would have not had to face the loss of Tony Short. But it's just how I think.
R.I.P.
As Wavy says, good grief.
Good grief. Ah, Wavy.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a long time.
Charlie Morrow, this sound installation, do you give any thought to the psychic trip that, for want of a better word, that people who experience this 3D sound go through?
We do think about it a lot, because there are folks, the concierges in the building, who live in our 3D sound environment every day for their entire shift. And so we try to make that environment an interesting one for someone who's actually doing their job in the space. Now, the visitors themselves that visit the exhibit will be there maybe 10 minutes at the most, 15 minutes, outrageously, 20 minutes. But someone who's there day after day, and so we keep in touch with them. Is it loud enough? Is it soft enough? How does it work for your mind while you're there? I mean, we start out with the idea of creating a sound environment that is a minimal sketch of what it's like to be at Roosevelt Island, you know, just opposite the UN, sound of the river, the sound of the wind, the sound of the birds. But then when you actually install it, it's something that becomes part of the life of the people who are working there. And I think that over the years, we live in them.
Do you incorporate the sound of the cable cars by any chance?
You're on the air, by the way.
Oh, there?
Oh, hello?
Hello, yes, you're on the radio.
Hi, this is Tyler Clausen. I'm helping Charlie build this steel case installation.
It's nice. Where are you now, Tyler?
I'm over at my house right now, just listening to you guys on my computer.
I see, and that's Rhinebeck, New York, is it?
Yes, it is.
Oh, that's great. The question was, could you hear the cable car that came over the river from where you were when you went out to do the site survey?
No, when John Steigwald and I went out there, we walked all the way to the southernmost point of the island, and we were able to hear the ambience of traffic from the land on the side, but the cable car was too far away for us to hear that. And every once in a while you hear a helicopter fly overhead. So actually, if you listen closely, every 10 or 15 minutes or so, there's a little faint helicopter that you can hear in the steel case lobby, trying to imitate as much as possible what we're able to hear at that southern point of Roosevelt Island.
When you're in the steel case lobby, do you hear the outside sounds of New York City leaking in?
No, they're actually, they have two glass doors for the entrance, and it does a really good job of getting rid of the outside noise. So you're able to just enjoy the ambience of seagulls, birds, a little bit of crickets, and over by the elevators, if you walk down, you can hear a Roosevelt speech that's completely separate from everything else, but still spatialized, so it kind of sticks out in front of you, away from the audio sphere.
Particular speech?
It was a Ford Freedom speech that he spoke about for innatable rights, for something along those lines. I can't remember exactly what he said.
Mm-hmm. I would have liked it better if you said you could remember.
I suppose that was FDR we're talking about.
Yes, yeah. But no, so that means that this is sort of Four Freedoms speeches by politicians are kind of the ambiance of this. It's just that this is in the background. It's wallpaper. It's like spinning around the dial and seeing Joey Buttafuoco in gold watch straps.
There is nothing to fear but fear itself.
Well, that's not. I don't think that's the Four Freedoms speech, but
no, it is.
It is.
A pot in every chicken.
Something like that. Well, this was. Is this free? This event.
Yes, anyone can.
Anyone can go up there and be bombarded by sound coming from above and below and to the side of them?
They certainly can.
Actually, that piece that you played before, which Charlie did the music and I wrote the rhymes, that was done for the three-dimensional sound. Of course, the way we heard it was without the apparatus, because unlike installations which Charlie does,
people can achieve the same effect by having two radios in their house, or a radio and a computer, and putting one up above and the other down below, and fading
well, actually,
them up and
it
down.
Takes in his favorite product installation, it takes 8 speakers. And when you sit in the middle, you can really feel like you are immersed, as he said before. And it's a spatial feeling. And the feeling of hearing is not necessarily a spatial feeling. But what this aggrandizement of technology manages, and this is not just speakers and sound, it's also a fairly complex, do you agree with me? I mean,
yes.
you it's your thing. It's a complex computer protocol that manages it, right?
It's true. The desire is to create something that feels natural, like walking into a space.
So it's almost like a holograph, but of sound.
Yes, something exactly like that. You go into the cloud of sound, and it's like being in another place. I want to mention, though, that it was WBAI that supported my first efforts in spatial sound and broadcast. In 1968, I created a series of 4 broadcast, 1-hour-long shows called the Soundhead Shows that were done in a slot on Saturdays for children. And each one of them had the listener put their stereo speakers in different places. So in one, one speaker was up and one speaker was down. One, you had your speaker in the next room and so forth. So they each had a different configuration in order to create a different effect in the listener's home. It required you to do a little homework before the broadcast, but BAI was pioneered that whole idea in broadcast.
Oh, wow.
Well, those were the days, the old days.
I bet.
I said to someone here tonight, you know, I can remember a time when there was a breaking news story that might carry over into the next few weeks, when all the members of the news department would appear at WBAI and would you know, be around reading the ticker and trying to find out what the reaction was to it in the capitals of the world, and I said, that's what would have happened in the old days. And the person said, yeah, the old days. Nobody wants to hear about the time when they weren't around and when things were supposed to be good. Actually, things weren't all that good in those good old days, were they, Geared?
Well, you know, retrospectively speaking, if you don't mind, they were pretty good looking at them. Whatever the stress and the lack of freedoms which existed now and then, where retrospectively that disappears, and one has this wonderful feeling about what one has experienced and which is included in one's makeup somehow, and it's not like a hard disk at all, because it's not literal, you know. It is an impressionistic feeling that one has, and it's not just sensual in the sense of the five senses. It has an emotional impact which cancels out a lot of negatives.
Well, I can say that in the old days in New York, it was a very, very different city. I remember those early years around WBAI. First of all, many parts of the city were not safe to walk. There was a city of very diverse safety conditions. I remember that the first day I
you come think that's changed?
Well, I think there are a lot of much safer neighborhoods.
Different places are safe or not safe.
But
I mean, there are some places where bits of buildings fall down on you.
That's true.
That's not safe.
Not at all.
You're not safe in your apartment, where the rent can be raised at the lifting of the landlord's eyebrow, practically.
Yeah, well, in the old days, the rent laws were much stronger. You know, a rent-controlled apartment is a concept that has long since been forgotten, with the idea.
You're not safe if you're riding a bicycle down certain streets where the trucks fly.
You know, after I came from, as a child, from Europe and was going, living in Washington Heights called Frankfurt on the Hudson, you know, we used to walk from Washington Heights to the Staten Island Ferry and take the ferry and come back and walk back up. Well, you know, that felt very safe. It may feel safe now. I can't manage it anymore. I mean, at my age, one doesn't walk. Although today I walk from 28th Street to 8th Street. How do you like that? At 81 years old. So I must be healthier than the doctors admit.
Well, one of the big differences between then and now would be...
I thought we were going to be able to... You'll have to call back if you were disconnected, because there was another call that came in. Oh. I thought we had it on conference.
Yeah, I think you're
counts. Try this a second call. It's probably someone chanting. All right, you're on the radio. Yeah? Yes, this is a sad character, but he wants to be part of your mix, Charlie. Maybe he can go up and, like, be... broadcasting from on top of one of the speakers. How many speakers do you have in this installation?
Yeah, we have a dozen speakers, we have 12 speakers. Yeah, six on each side, and we have a subwoofer.
Speaking of speakers and woofers, this is WBAI in New York City. We're also broadcasting on KWMD in Kisilov, Alaska, CJLY in Nelson, British Columbia, and in half an hour we'll be joined by WJFF in Jefferson, Grahamsville, and Liberty, New York. We are also streaming on the World Wide Web, and that might be where we're getting that call from. Hi, you're on the radio.
How many hertz is that?
Is this Bob?
Yes, hi.
Yeah, I'd just like to know the name of the show that Tony Short did. What's the name of the show?
It was called Person to Person.
Person to Person. And you know if there's any chance of any type of rebroadcasting of one of her shows?
I have no idea.
Well, because she had someone else that they played in every now and then. You know who that is, right?
What's that?
There's someone else that they play rebroadcast.
Saidi McLaughlin also shares that time with her. I have no idea what will be happening.
But the overnights were preempted for fundraising. But you might find it in the archives if you go to that grid that I refer to. If somebody wants to pledge, you go to that same grid and look for Person to Person. You might find it.
Okay. And the other person I was talking about was Grandpa Al Lewis. Okay. Thanks a lot, guys.
He lived on Roosevelt Island.
You're on the radio.
Is that an American Indian?
No, no. It's a it's an adult person who thinks that he wants. I guess what he's trying to do is his version of the ghost dance. Which is supposed to make the earth shake itself out and get rid of
the buildings, the civilizations, the automobiles, the railroads,
the poison, the toxins.
Exactly.
Well, you know, I guess his and what is that?
That's the sounds of Alaska. I wanted to say that to all of our friends in Alaska that we are building a 3D sound environment in the Arctic Study Center of the Smithsonian. And that's in Anchorage. Can you hear me? And that Mylena, who are here, are creating a soundscape. The northern part of the soundscape will be the far north of Alaska. And the central part of Alaska will be the middle of the soundscape, and the southern part will be southeast Alaska, Aleutian Islands, all with different climates. And in 20 minutes, you'll go through a whole year, which will then repeat itself. And of course, the year's different in the far north, so you'll hear birds migrate from one part of Alaska to the other.
What portion is this we're hearing right now?
Right now, you're hearing the far north.
And there's someone trying to shake up the ice flow.
What ice flows? They're going.
I think his brain is melting and leaking out of his ear.
I think he's probably having a good time. You think so? Just like in the good old days. Yeah, I think so.
He's the animal lady of today.
But, people who do, what is that, glossolalia?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It's glossolalia. What was her last name?
Oh, the great glossolalia lady?
Yeah. It wasn't Kate Smith.
No.
God bless America.
No. She was. That's not really possible.
Oh, you really come
See,
from Brooklyn,
in tongues,
don't
you?
After you're all.
Speaking in tongues, but yeah. The tongues that I speak in are hanging in a delicatessen.
Hey, you guys remember when there used to be the hip world and the straight world?
and we and they?
We and they.
as in Del Close and John Brent?
Yeah.
You're on the radio.
Hey, at least he's persistent.
At least. That's the least of his things. I mean, actually, it's the most of his things. Because he has occasionally been prompted to speak. And he speaks about some concert that he has the sole recording of that was done in some ancient time that he calls the best music that was ever played on the earth. And it's Charlie, it sounds a whole lot worse than taking a microphone and putting it in front of the speaker of a laptop, which is what you've been doing. And, you know, it sounds like it was recorded at a slightly off-speed cassette. And he... it doesn't really matter, though, does it, Gary?
Well, positive feedback loops are one of the most interesting phenomena. You know, in visual terms, that's what Lam June Paik, some of his best video work was that. And if you have a metaphoric kind of understanding, you understand that that's what happens when people break down. You know, they accelerate, and they don't know how to break the loop, because the only way to stop positive feedback is if you move the speaker away from the microphone or you cut off the juice. You know,
we had an episode of that earlier when the earphones were near one of the open microphones and there was a squeal.
That's
feedback.
It sure is.
Overload.
And you know, when you think about it, when people are enraged and they don't know how to stop, that's what that is also. And eventually they break down. We've all known people who do that, unfortunately. And some of them need a lot of help.
But not from a psychiatrist.
Not from the one we're talking about, I guess. There's somebody ringing again. Is it the same old?
Okay.
Same old.
Yes.
Oh, hey.
You're the same old. If you're someone who is the same new, and you want to call and be on the air, don't let. Association with that.
Did you give out the number? Maybe no. Nobody knows the number.
Oh,
right. Number.
Yeah, right. Why don't we give the number?
Yeah. It's 212-209-2900 if you want to talk on the air.
Oh, well, here we are all alone. All the way back when we first started KPFA, when very few people had FM, this was one of my big deals, finding out how to get people FM, because I was not only a producer, I was the public relations director. Anyway, we had serious doubts whether anyone was listening. You know, and that's a wonderful part of radio, that there is that outside which never really comes inside until the phone starts ringing and you say, gee, there really is somebody out there, you know. And in those days, because there were so few FM sets, it was very unlikely. And of course, it was before that whole idea of call-ins became popular. Oh, my God, now all the phones are ringing.
You're on the radio.
No,
hey! This board.
You're on the radio.
How come he's got...
good morning, everyone.
Oh.
Good morning.
You're on the air.
No, hey!
How is they both have?
It's got a franchise.
Yeah,
it.
They both have. You're on the radio. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Are you going to do something bizarre?
No, but I have to say, no, I didn't. You know, I thought there'd be a moment. I just turned my radio off. I have to say, whatever that guy did, he made you guys laugh.
You're right.
You know, I mean, mm-hmm. I missed that.
You're right.
I called earlier. Right. I left a message. I mean, it was like, you know, when you open the show, it was like, you know, like let's all kill ourselves and get it over with. But let's not be dreary. I did call. I left a message. Then I went out to walk the dog, and then I walked in, and I saw the lines were open, and I don't even know what we're talking about anymore. I'm guessing it.
Well, you know, there's no law that says you have to pay close attention, but
okay.
we were talking about an installation of sound that has a certain psychic impact that Charlie Morrow has designed, that Gerd Stern participates in, and that the other people who are lounging around the control room in various states of fatigue are participating in.
Well, I don't know if your phones are ringing off the hook, and I don't want to be.
So.
I don't want to be the irrelevant lady.
Well, you're the irrelevant in the room, and we're all aware that you're there.
Hey, it's a revelation, whatever you want to call it. You know.
Well, in my own, in
you're
my
calling
own
on
sense,
a trunk
I must
line.
Say that I was back stuffing and not stuffing, but stapling. Got, you know, program guides back before you guys were born. Maybe.
I doubt that.
Maybe.
I think I recognize your voice.
No. I never, ever call. Actually, I've only started tuning back in because NPR has become such a bore. And I'm delighted you guys are still there. I'm delighted the AI.
You know, it's touch and go, actually.
You know, I'll leave you my number after we get offline, okay?
Thank you.
But I want to say about the big it. Yeah, it is very touching. It's horrifying. I was a 9/11 responder. I was a mental health professional. I wouldn't touch anybody in the condition I'm in now after having been down at ground zero, but I guess I'm healthy enough to know that. Terrible tragedy. All right, wall of sound. I don't want to go off topic.
Go off topic. You're bringing us around. It's in a funny way. All the topics that you spoke of are related to what we're trying to grok.
Okay, can I make a song request? No, don't laugh.
I'm not sure that I can fulfill it.
Okay,
though.
No, that's fine. But
what would you like
somebody
to hear?
Somebody out there, all 50 of us who are listening, might recall this. What I haven't heard in years and years is, do you remember the tune by Steppenwolf, America with a K?
Yes,
I do. Yeah.
Why doesn't anybody play that? I don't know. You know, I mean, we hear the Tim Buckley, and we hear Masters of War. We hear all that. We don't hear that tune. But you were talking about something technological now, wall of sound.
Yeah, 3D sound.
Mm-hmm.
Four walls.
3D sound.
Yeah, four walls.
You know what?
Top
I'm sorry. I'm still on a rotary phone.
Oh, that's in 3D.
That must be very painful.
Well, I guess I'm almost as old as you guys, but not quite yet. So yeah, I could still my fingers still work.
But there's no record library here. That's the problem.
Oh, okay, no problem. So you know, I don't. Yeah, okay. But somebody said they remembered that tune, and that's
for me. We do remember it, and we also remember the book. The book Steppenwolf. Yeah.
Steppenwolf, yes.
Hesse, yeah.
Yes.
Mad Men Only, or was that a different one?
Well, I mean, there's no way that the group would have called themselves that without the book, it seems to me.
I see.
Now, that is a relationship which is not an ordinary relationship. You know, I mean, there are a lot of people in the world who name somebody after somebody else. But the Beatles didn't name themselves after anybody, I don't think.
Well,
they named themselves after, in a way,
Jack Kerouac.
Really?
Beat.
Beat.
Oh, Beat. You think that came from that?
Sure.
It never even occurred to me. And here I am.
You hear the radio.
Here I am, a classic Beat myself, right?
Yes, you are.
You know where it came from? Herb Cain was a columnist for the San Francisco Chronicle.
No, that's where Beatnik came from.
Yeah, I understand.
But Beat, Kerouac was talking about, he said, we're Beat, we're beatific, we're Beat.
Beatific, right. but he called everybody
that 45 years ago or something. All I remember was the sign over the door for Mad Men Only. That's the only thing.
That's right. You got it.
That's all I remember about the book.
And it's very interesting because when we did our Strobe environment a couple of years ago at the Whitney and at the Tate, we had them put those words at the door.
Yeah, as you should have.
Yeah.
And as you should continue to do. Anything else you want to talk about?
Does your name begin with a K?
No, it's Cynthia. No,
that's Cynthia.
Yes.
Then you're not Franz Kafka. No,
okay.
No, actually, my name is Costa.
Did
you say Costa?
Yeah, well,
I can't hear you because I can't have my radio on.
I might have, yeah.
And I can barely hear you guys on the phone.
Oh, well, yeah, that's a technological problem.
Sometimes you get a sense of something through the
mysterious sense. Is Costa. That's fascinating. Mm. Maybe I could listen to the podcast of this. Not that I know how to do that.
Is that with a
but
D or a D or a T?
Wait, what?
Pod.
What?
D or a T?
What the hell did he say? What did he say? A is an Ann, who was stuck with an all. D is for Brian, who blew his brains out. What? Are you asking how to spell my last name?
No, I don't think so. But as long as we know what it is, we're all together on this wonderful world of ours. It's a globe.
You know what? I'm going to hang up because then I can hear the show.
Okay. Well, we'll think of you as you hang up.
I'm up all night. You know, if you want to call me back, if you have a return call, I'll just
Sit
down in the studio all night.
If you want to leave your number, my voicemail is 212-209-2921. And Bill Propp will answer and say that it's my voicemail, and then you can leave your message alongside the chants that this guy usually tries to fill my voicemail with. But thank you.
I have to say that this soundscape is very much an Ann McMillan reminder to me. Do you remember Ann?
Yeah, I do. She's very special.
Yeah, and she used to do this kind of thing. I think I narrated a program for a museum for her once, which had something like this. But I also
that's remember Robbie Barish. I haven't introduced you yet.
I think I also, I'm off mic, but that's how life is, you know? My life is off mic. I also remember, I think, Karen and David Watkins presenting that original sound stuff back in 1968. And, you know, they are two people that nobody knows what became of that family. You know, Ronnie Watkins, the father, Karen and David, the two kids, they've
sort of disappeared from contact with everybody. Maybe there's somebody out there who knows.
You're on the air. Hi. Hello?
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, Bob, it's so good to talk with you.
It's terrible to talk to you.
Hello?
You're on the air. Hello?
Yes, I am on the air.
Yes, you are.
I love this. I love this. This is a firefighter from Brooklyn, New York, on 99.5. Are you alive? How are you guys doing?
Okay, you're a firefighter.
Yes, absolutely. Also, a lead singer of a band called Bitter Spirits. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good.
Super duper.
What's that?
Super duper.
Yes, I do not understand what super duper is, but I hope I heard you right.
Yes, you did.
It's, yes. I don't know, I guess it's just saying more super than super.
Right.
Well, if you can possibly be more super than super, you would be superrific? Would superrific be a word?
Superfluous, maybe.
I enjoyed this very much.
Superannuated. Super salad.
How about superintendent? Yeah.
Oh, you know the story about the guy who was sitting in the park, and some gorgeous woman comes up to him.
Okay.
And says, "Would you like some super sex?"
Yes.
And he says, "Well, if you don't mind, it's a chilly day. I think I'll have the soup."
Very, very good. Very. As if the sex wasn't tempting enough, I'd rather have the soup. Yeah. Hey, listen, I just wanted to tell you guys, I love you guys. 99.5 keeps me alive. It's wonderful. You guys are awesome. Hey, listen. Personal invite to you guys, Sunday night, Sullivan Hall. If you guys want to come out, I'll buy you drinks all night long.
Where is the Sullivan Hall?
It's on Bleecker and Sullivan.
Wow.
Yeah,
we got a show going on.
In the heart of brightness.
What's that?
In the heart of brightness.
Yes, exactly. Listen, New York City rock and roll is still alive. CBGB's may be dead, but let me tell you, New York rock and roll is still alive. Just to tell you, everyone out there, it's still alive, it's still going on. And this Sunday, 8 o'clock, Sullivan Hall is going to be a little New York rock and roll for you. If you want to come out, have a little fun, I'll buy you a drink, I guarantee it.
You're a firefighter, huh?
Oh, absolutely.
What? How long have you eaten smoke?
Oh, I've been eating smoke for 5 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, congratulations.
Well, you know, I don't know if I should be congratulated. Well, I'm just doing a job here.
We need all the help we can get.
You know, I read today about the very first fire department on record.
Yes.
Have you ever heard of Croesus? He was a Roman who was very, very wealthy. And he had a fire brigade.
Yes.
And this is the origin of the term fire sale. If your house was on fire, he would go to the house with his army of firefighters and say, "We'll save your house, but..."
You had to pay.
You have to pay.
Very good.
Or we'll buy it from you, and the longer it burns, the cheaper it gets. And so he accumulated a lot of property in Rome.
He was very good at his job.
Right. And you firefighters don't have that kind of an opportunity.
If we did, we would be rich.
Well, you're it's no joke.
I don't think Nero was part of any brigade.
You're a The brain.
Oh, Nero would probably be the Bloomberg of firefighters.
He's watching Fern.
That's right. Where is your? Can you say where your firehouse is?
Oh well, you know, I don't really like to talk about that, but it's in Brooklyn. I guarantee you. If you go back about, let me, 6 minutes, you could figure it out. we like to keep ourselves autonomous.
What's the name of your band?
Oh, the Bitter Spirits.
The Bitter
Spirits?
Yes, more like the booze, not like bitter.
Bitter Spirits, like Ipecac. Oh,
exactly. It's almost a broad view of the world, and if you're bitter, but you can rise above it, that's what we're about.
Bitters.
Yes, the Bitter Spirit.
It comes in bottles.
Angostura.
Exactly.
Well, good luck, and hey, if you have some sort of recording of it, I'd love to hear it, maybe play it.
Oh, yes, we do. We absolutely do. You can check out, you do a search, Bitter Spirits, just a broad search. You can find us on YouTube, MySpace, we're on Twitter, whatever you guys want to do, you know. We have one song up right now, and we're recording right now. We're playing Sunday night, Sullivan Hall, 8 o'clock. If you guys want to come down, we'll be buying drinks for you, no problem.
You know, if a lot of people who are listening take you up on an offer, they could say that they're us and they can come down and you'll give them free drinks. Careful.
Well, you know what? If I go into the hall for it, at least everybody had fun. That's really what we're about and what we care about. New York City rock and roll is still around. It did not die with CBGBs, and it's still here. That's where we're at.
No question. And it's at the Sullivan
Hall.
Sullivan Hall.
Bleecker and Sullivan.
At 8 o'clock. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's just a good time. You know, come out and have a couple of drinks and then just enjoy yourself. And let me tell you something. There's some really beautiful, awesome, great bands that are going to be playing other than us. It's just going to be a really fun time.
Well, all right. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you, guys.
Bye-bye.
99.5 is alive, and you guys are great. I love you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're on the radio. Hello?
Hello.
Good morning.
Hello, Bob.
That's me.
This is the gray-haired old man who has transitioned to becoming a snake. You remember the person who used to be with... Al Lewis on the air once in a while, with you once in a while.
Hampton?
This is Hampton.
Hampton. I'm so happy to hear from you.
I'm happy to hear your voice also, Bob.
Thank you.
I send you all my love and all my blessings from my 82 years of existence in this planet. And I can only say that in my ignorance, I didn't express the love I had for you and the station, in spite of its flaws and faults and everything else. But I was there with you when we had the phone in the bathtub on 39th Street. I was there with you. Wait a minute. I was one of the first volunteers that I believe slept on the floor at the church, because some of the others were slightly young, and they weren't into that kind of roughing it. But for me, having been a Boy Scout up in the Palisades and Ten Mile River and Alpine and all those places.
Hampton, I must interrupt you just for a moment to welcome WJFF in Jeffersonville, Grahamsville, and Liberty, which is just...
Should I wait or...
About to join us. No, stay. I want to ask you a couple of... You were from talking about the Palisades. This is a bit further up than the Palisades, but it's...
Well, I used to do the whole place, from the Palisades up to Ulster County and beyond there up to the border.
Well,
I used to walk the Appalachian Trail, help blaze it.
Wow.
When we were explorer scouts, we would be given a section to blaze the trail and put the markers on the trees and things.
Walking the Appalachian Trail means something a little different these days.
Oh, yeah.
Weren't you and Kenny Davis all over 62nd Street?
Yes, I was there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I came there with some of the real rough radicals, you know, Herman Ferguson and some of the other people who were in the movement for change. And I've evolved from the radical, let's make it now, to being just a human being, Bob. I'm no longer radically trying to prove black, white, yellow, purple, or green.
Do you still have your bike?
Yes, I still have the motorcycle. The Black Beauty will still always be there ready. I gave it to my daughter, though. And she's taking lessons down in Arlington. She's a retired major. And she weighs about 125 pounds. And the bike weighs 1,100. And I'm 82, and I can't handle it. I rode it up until I was 79, Bob.
Wow.
And I never got a chance to ride Dub, you know.
Well, here, there's one guy that's 1 year older than I am. Hurrah.
Well, I had to look at it this way.
Where are you living now, Hap?
I'm still in Brooklyn. I'm doing some things with young people, trying to get them induced into radio and sound system. I reactivated my ham license, so I'm practicing my code words so I can get back on the 10-meter, 15-meter band. And I have my press passes from part of the UN and from DAI. And most police allow me through the lines, even if I look decrepit and old. And I'm thankful. That's all I can tell you, Bob. And I'm thankful for all the programs you've had. Once in a while, can you do me one service and play the Fugs for me? Just the Fugs playing. I hate everybody. I mean, that song really took me through when I realized how insane hate was. And then when King came on showing the power of love, that's when me and Grandpa used to really have some discussions. And it was more beautiful than I could ever tell you. And whenever you see my name in the book, it'll always say WBAI, where brains are important. And they will always be. And anything that we ever show of any intelligence, it will encompass love, Bob. Intelligence without love is what turned people into Hitlers and Giulianis and all these other creeps. They think they're starting out on a good path, but their power, as it increases, directly proportionally drives them insane. And there's no way that you're going to spend $1 million training a soldier to throw hand grenades into houses of children and women and old people and then expect them to come back and be normalized for $500. It's not possible, Bob. And the world cannot live on hate. And the more it hates, the more it'll destroy itself.
Seems to be in our DNA, though, or at least in some way, in the DNA of our society.
I have no solution anymore. The only thing I can do is what I've learned from all of the cultures and religions I've studied. And believe me, I've studied from Astora all the way down to Zombalism and zombieism. I mean, for me, mankind's culture is not embraced in one aspect of itself. A garden doesn't have one flower in it. It's only because of the complexity of what nature does to make that garden beautiful. Man may nurture it, man may sustain it, but in truth, the beauty is from within the person who creates it, and a person who sees and receives it in their souls.
Well, I have to say, Hampton, that the beauty is inside you. I thank you very much for calling. Please stay in touch. And
I will, you know, Bob.
Leave a number or something where you can be reached.
Well, I'll leave a number tomorrow. Well, I may come by even and put it in your box.
Well, there's no guarantee that if something is put in my mailbox, it'll be there more than a few hours. So why don't you call two...
So what is your phone number?
212-209-2921.
2921. Thank you very much, Bob.
Thank you, Hanford.
And stay blessed.
Thank you, man. It's beautiful to hear from you.
You know, what he said reminds me of what Lord Buckley's line about people are the true flowers of life, and it's been my privilege to walk in the garden.
Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, I have two questions for either Bob or yourself. I wanted to know, did you watch the World Series?
Well, that's easy. No.
Okay, that's number one. Number two, I went into a thrift shop.
Wait a second. I happened to be going between two cooking shows, and I caught a glimpse of somebody trying to swing at a baseball. That's it? That's it? Yeah.
That's it. Okay. Well, hey, some people didn't see that. Okay,
what?
But here's...
You did, right?
Yes, I did.
Let me ask you a question. What's in it for you?
Well, what was in it for me? It's not what's in it now, but what was in for me at the time was a wager.
Uh-huh. The Yankees won the Civil War? Oh, you bet on it.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
Against the Yankees.
Uh-huh. Well...
Because everybody can't be a Yankee fan. If everybody was a Yankee fan, there would be no interest. Okay, my second question. I was in a thrift shop, you know, like the Salvation Army.
What is it about, like, people all wearing the same clothes and swinging big, heavy bats at little round things that makes it so interesting to you?
Well, that's
running,
the way it's...
jumping, and carrying on?
Yeah, that's...
Baseball.
Yeah, it's the only sport that doesn't have a clock. That's interesting, isn't it? Okay, my second question is I was at a thrift shop, at a Salvation thrift shop, and I ran across a jacket, and it was, and the tag inside said 200% wool. So I'm trying to figure out how...
You're trying to pull it over your eyes.
I think it was probably made in that Japanese city, which is called USA, you know, USA, made in USA.
That's not it, but do you know how it's possible for it to be 200% wool?
Tell how.
Because the sheep led a double life.
Oh.
Okay. Gotta go, Bob.
All right. Thank you. Bada bing.
And we, like sheep, have gone astray.
You're on the radio. Bah. Hello?
Hey, how are you, man?
Okay, this is our caller from Michigan.
Lake Michigan, indeed.
Michigan,
wow.
Or Michigas?
From
Detroit. Yeah, Michigas, that's next door.
From Detroit. Well, are they all excited about the possibility of warfare and reopening all the assembly lines and getting those...
Oh, man, I guess I don't know about that. I mean, there are so many pressing things against life. It's just a madness. It's just so impossibly saddening or upsetting. I mean, people say, oh, yeah, a revolution, but, you know, the army and everybody that has guns, you know, I mean, somebody's selling these guns. Somebody's selling these weapons, and people are using them against each other. And somebody's getting rich, and it's so crazy. It's like, you know, their profit is our loss. It's just driving me mad. I mean, you know, one thing at a time. But the Beatles got their name because they used to be called the Silver Beatles. And then John Lennon had a dream, and a guy on a flaming pie came and says, you will be called Beatles with an A. And am I still on the air?
Yeah. You know all that ancient history, huh?
Yeah. Oh, man, ancient history. Yeah, I mean, people have been killing each other since they could. I mean, and why, I don't know. I have no fracking idea.
Well, Steve Ben Israel, who is going to be doing a show, and will be up here next week or the week after, says that it's art. Without art, 5 million years ago, the two last human beings would have killed each other, or something. One of them would have killed the other, and then killed himself because he had no one to say you to. So, art is the answer. That's what's going to save us, if anything.
True, true, true. I mean, yeah, I have been doing a lot of painting these days, and luckily I've been showing in different galleries out here.
Yeah?
And, you know, playing music with different guys and different folks, and I don't know, I guess that's art, and, you know, plus playing with the kids and playing stickball in the morning with the kids at school. They never even saw a stickball bat. They didn't know what it was. I had to make it because they don't sell them in the candy shops anymore. But they love it. They don't, you know, I mean, I'm trying to
it's a broom handle.
Make the world a good place. But,
it's a broom handle. What do you mean make it? A stickball is just, you know, a broom handle.
You haven't been watching infomercial TV. There are no more brooms. There are only sophisticated devices that pick up things from the floor.
Oh.
No, I had to make it out of a dowel.
Oh.
And then put the electrical tape on the handle, you know.
Uh-huh. Well, could have made it out of a McDowell and gone to a colony.
Oh, you know, we stopped the water. We stopped those crazy people, that Halliburton thing, that when they were trying to frack.
No, we haven't. What you're talking about is the fracking that was going to be extracting gas from the Marcellus Shale by pumping pure water down, loaded up with all kinds of chemicals, steam, and then pumping the gas out. And then the water would go back into the aquifer and would
build up with 400 chemicals and of sludge.
Right. So
I can't clean.
Because we've been talking about it, among other reasons, the Chesapeake Power Company decided that they weren't going to do it. It was too unpopular, or they hadn't thought about what to do with the water afterwards, and
yes,
so that's a slight victory, but there are other companies that maintain that it's perfectly all right to do it.
Right, and November
10th. So the battle is not over.
There's November 10th. There's
right.
going to be a hearings or in public comment, or you know, some kind of meeting, and everyone, if they're interested in saving the earth or saving water, the lifeblood of our earth, on November 10th, go to waterunderattack.com. Waterunderattack.com. And that will link you to the future things. And it's Josh Fox's film, which is should get an Academy Award. It's really fantastic. But, yeah, I mean, there's so many issues. You know, yeah, we got to save the water in New York, and yet we're our soldiers, our poor guys, our poor little kids, man, who are getting trained to be killers, and then they come home, and they try not to be a killer anymore. And, you know, and war is so stupid and obsolete. It's a bad form of communication. We need conflict resolution, man. We need harmony. What the blazes? Are you going to kill people? You're never going to win anything. You're always just going to continue the cycle of nuts, of craziness and violence. It's never ending. And you can't even score. Can't get even with them guys because everybody will just keep getting even with everyone, and, you know, a tooth for a tooth and makes everybody, you know, need a dentist, and an eye for an eye makes everybody everybody blind. The only end is just peace. Just stop it and just be peace and be like Jesus and, you know, love each other and take care of your brothers and sisters. And all of a sudden there's peace and we can all watch the lineage media showers together and think about peace. And everybody put down their guns. I mean, I know that's kind of big, but I mean, it's the only thing that's going to stop us if we just stop it. I don't know how to stop it, but it's just a consciousness. It's the God consciousness, Christ consciousness.
Hello,
no,
Michigan.
Let's all be Christ.
Hello.
Hello,
you
Michigan.
Played that great song, Bobby. Where's that song, The Carpenter? Oh, my God. That song, you guys, let's be like The Carpenter. Well, I don't know. You played it like months ago. It's just the most amazing, beautiful song.
You're on the air. I hear another voice. It's
hello,
Fred Pecora.
Yes, hello, Bob, and
hi, Fred,
and crew, and Michigan. Thank you, Michigan, for doing your due diligence. No, that what Bob said about that exemption from the drilling in the watershed is just by one company, and they don't have to. They're not legally bound not to drill there. It's just a statement. But really, as far as you're right, I think, Bob, it was you that said we have to fall back on art of all sorts. And one of the things folks can do is just quickly scrawl something on a sign and show up at Stuyvesant High School on the 10th. I think the sign-in is 6 o'clock and program probably starts at 7. I think that's pretty universal with their presentations. WBAI News did some really great coverage, except that the woman announcer didn't mention the chemicals at all. She just said sand and water are used for the drilling, which was really a gross omission.
Right, there's some 200 chemicals. 600, and that's not, the water that is used to make the steam that does the fracturing of the shale layer, which is quite deep in the earth, also comes back more highly radioactive than it went down, and this water is going to end up in the aquifer.
They have extended the comment period 30 days, so we did have a bit of an effect. I'd like to also mention to folks that are online to go to the River Reporter, today's issue, the 5th through the 11th. It's a weekly. And pages 4 and 5, it's two complete pages of current information. I don't want to take too much time, but... the quote from Chesapeake was, it's become increasingly clear to us over the past few months that the concern for drilling in the watershed has become a needless distraction. Therefore, the company said they would not drill there or anywhere else in the watershed. But
where is that? That's not the watershed.
I'm sorry, Bob, I missed that.
What, I mean, the water, what the water goes into... some watershed somewhere, some aquifer, underground streams travel very far.
Oh, absolutely. There was just a total fish kill of 33 miles, I think, in Pennsylvania, where there was just a surface spill. The other thing is, I've spoken to another great website for those chemicals, over 350 now identified, it's simply Endocrine Disruption. .com and where is it .org? It's one or the other. A question to them that I had a year ago was, how far underground, when the layers of the earth are pierced and you pierce an aquifer, how far would water migrate? And it's an unknown. They said anywhere from 10 miles to 20 to 30, 40 miles. So it doesn't matter if they're within the actual watershed. Folks have come out at calling for a two-year ban. There were over 300 people that showed up at the hearing last week, last Wednesday. And there is a bit of news. It's just actually today. New legislation calls for fracking study. The U.S. House of Representatives today approved a provision authored by Congressman Maury Cinci that formally urges the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, and those are the folks that should be, let me just say, those are the folks that should be overseeing this. The Department of Environmental Conservation, the DEC, it's, what can I say? They have a conflict of interest. It's not the right agency to be overseeing this. Going back, formerly urges the U.S. DEP, the EPA.
You know, there are a lot of people listening who think that this isn't important. But you know, they use water to make beer.
Well, they use water. They'll be using water to make poison in this case.
Name your poison.
Well, it arsenic must be very expensive water with all those chemicals in it.
Medical list.
I
just want to say one thing. I don't want to take too much time. Most folks know this if they've listened to your program. I just want to mention that there will be a one-hour DVD, or 58 minutes, actually, available after Tony Bates reviews it. He got a DVD that I sent him, and he thought it was a half an hour, but it's an hour DVD of testimony of people in Pennsylvania who have suffered the impacts of this drilling activity, and also a slide presentation by Barbara Arundel from Damascus Citizens, and they're both really compelling testimony, and that should be a premium, possibly starting tomorrow.
Also, don't worry about your water. Just drink your oregano oil and forget it.
I think I've heard that about six times already, but I don't want to criticize Nat at this point.
Anyway, Fred.
I'm just glad that you're on tonight, Bob.
Thank you. Thank you very much for calling.
And your wonderful guests. But I think that's all I have. It's great to hear that. Great to hear Hampton. He hasn't called for quite some time. And Three Mile River, is actually, that camp is being approached by drilling companies to drill for gas on that thousands of acres of camp. Unfortunately, I hope they don't do it.
night at all. Doing right at all. I was just standing there.
To the hazelwood, because a fire was in my head, and I cut and peeled the hazel wand and hooked a berry to a thread. And when white moths were on the wing and moths like stars flickering out, I dropped the berry in a stream and caught a little silver trout. When I had laid it on the ground, I went to
WBAI in New York City and KWMD in Castillo-Falasca, CJLY in Nelson, British Columbia, and WJFF in Grahamsville, Liberty, and where else?
Streaming.
And Jeffersonville, New York. And We're going to be here until 3:30 at least this morning with Charlie Morrow, Gerd Stern. I don't remember.
John Steigerwald.
John Steigerwald.
You mean you think we can last till 3:30? You know, I was going to read you a little poem because I wanted your opinion, not of the poem, but of the idea. You know, the question of email. I've been writing these little things called statements. They're just very short little poems, And this one is called Emails: A Flood Can Drown You, Not Only in Spam, But Offers and Info, Messages from Anywho, Beguiling, Beseeching, Requiring Reply from Someone Else Than I. I mean, it's changed my life, email, and I'm surprised, because it shall overcome. Does it overcome anybody else in this crowd?
At the moment, not me. My computer died. So I'm free.
Come to a microphone. That's how you can be heard.
And it's both good and bad. It's bad that I don't get messages from my friends, but it's good that I don't have to read all the above we just heard about.
It's a blessing and a curse.
Correct.
Well, talking about time, which you were talking about earlier, it can really eat it up, you know? And even when I feel like it's very important to stay in touch, and it's such an easy touch to make because it's not like, it's not like snail mail. Which I used to also love. I don't really love email like I used to love snail mail.
Well, you sent me an email that I really thought was right, where I needed to be. You recall some of it?
You mean
I can find it and read it.
You mean the comics of yore? Yeah, I mean I can't recall any kind of verbatim, so I'm sure it's retrievable, and I can't even remember who sent it to me, so I could send it to you.
Well, this is very tantalizing. I'll maybe not tantalizing at all, but I'll try to find it, and I promise you, you'll have a laugh or two if I read it.
Who, you mean the electric radio audience?
Yes.
Yeah, we used to call it the electric radio. They don't do that anymore.
Hmm.
At least I haven't heard it used for a long time.
Hmm. I think the Electrons have a program called So You Think You Can Dance.
Yeah, they haven't done that since Jack Armstrong. Hmm.
The All-American Boy.
The All-American Boy.
Can you buy Wheaties? Will you buy Wheaties? The best breakfast food in the land.
Have you tried Wheaties?
Right.
They're whole wheat with all of the bran.
No, now we try something else. We try Tweeter. Have you tried Tweeties?
Shall we try one of those calls, or... does Charlie want to play one of his soundscapes? Why don't you play one of your soundscapes, Charlie?
I'll do
it.
Hello?
Yes.
Just a minute here. Somebody's there.
Oh.
Yeah, now they're there.
You're on the air.
Well, we don't seem to have it. You're going down through your computer, down and down.
You didn't get a signal to come out of the computer. Did you hear
anything?
No.
They're there.
Oh, there it is. Look, the email. You have to go down a little.
Well, now I can read the email that you sent me. It's called For Those Who Remember, and you say these are actual moments from a show that was called Hollywood Squares, in which various celebrities sat in different boxes, one above each other on a set, and they were asked particular questions, and they answered them. And it was, in those days, it was unscripted. It was completely improvised, and there were people like Paul Lind and Don Knotts and George Gobel and Charlie Weaver and Rosemary, who used to be Baby Rosemary, but now she was Rosemary, and who were some of the others? I don't remember who what the others were, but I'm going to read you some of the questions. Answers were, I believe, improvised, although it's quite possible that the setup lines were rehearsed. But it's hard to believe that this one was. The announcer says, Paul Lind, what is a good reason for pounding meat? And Paul Lind answered, loneliness. Well, the audience laughed so long and so hard that it took about 15 minutes of the show. Paul Lind was asked, do female frogs croak? And his answer was, if you hold their little heads underwater long enough. A question was, this is for Charlie Weaver, if you're going to make a parachute jump, at least how high should you be? Charlie Weaver says, oh, 3 days of steady drinking should do it. True or false? A pea can last as long as 5,000 years. And George Gobel answered, sometimes it seems that way. Questioner said to Don Knotts, you've been having trouble going to sleep. Are you a man or a woman? And Don Knotts said, that's what's keeping me awake. Question. According to Cosmopolitan, if you meet a stranger at a party and you think that he is attractive, this is asked of Rosemary, if you think he is attractive, is it all right to come out and ask him if he's married? And Rosemary said, no, I wait until the morning. Question. Which of your five senses tends to diminish as you get older? Charlie Weaver said, my sense of privacy. No, my sense of decency. The questioner said, what are do it, I can help, and I can't get enough? And George Gobel said, I don't know, but it's coming from the next apartment. As you grow older, do you tend to gesture more or less with your hands while you're talking? Rosemary, if you ask me one more growing old question, I'll give you a gesture you'll never forget. In bowling, what is a perfect score? And Rosemary said, a pin boy. Charlie Weaver, you have just decided to grow strawberries. Are you going to get any during the first year? No, I'll be too busy growing strawberries. Is it considered bad taste to... It is considered bad taste to discuss two subjects at nudist camps. One is politics, and what is the other? And Paul Lynn said, tape measures. Marty Allen was asked, can boys join the campfire girls? And he said, only after lights are out. When you pat a dog on its head, he will wag his tail. What will a goose do? The answer is make him bark. Paul Lind has asked, what is the most abused and neglected part of your body? Well, Paul Lind said, mine may be abused, but it certainly isn't neglected. Back in the old days, when great-grandpa George Gobel put horseradish on his head, what was he trying to do? Get it in his mouth.
Terrible.
Now, this goes back to something that we were asked earlier in the program. Who stays pregnant for a longer period of time, your wife or your elephant? Paul Lynn said, who told you about me and the elephant? When a couple have a baby, who is responsible for its sex? Charlie Weaver said, I'll lend him the car, but the rest is up to him. Jackie Gleason recently revealed that he firmly believes in them, but has actually seen them on at least two occasions. What are they? Charlie Weaver said, his feet. According to Ann Landers, Paul Lind, what are two things that you should never do in bed? And he said, point and laugh. Oh, we don't stop laughing because we grow old. We grow old because we stop laughing. And that's from Gerd Stern. Thank you for sending me that, Gerd.
It was my pleasure. The question is, you know, it comes at you, and then you have that question of should you send it on to somebody else? I usually don't, but in this case I did. And it's so heartening that it affected you so strongly that it's probably going to change my percentage of what I forward and increase it, you know. So that's an interesting reaction because it's again a media, you know, it's such a different medium, you know. Medium is the message. Well, what's that message? Reception only comes after transmission. And if you don't have a judgmental reaction, what is that reaction that you have? My reaction to Bob liking that is, hey, I should forward things more often. Is that a reasonable reaction?
Seems to me. It's a good one.
But, you know, all I'm doing is increasing the overload on other people.
I got a copy. I enjoyed it.
Right.
That's a
A little treat in the mail.
A little treat in the mail.
It's always nice to have your endorphins released one way or another.
Endorphins.
It's usually the other.
Yeah, are those...
Well, when you give up on the other, at least you have that, you know.
Those are people sleep with them. I mean, swim with them, don't they? Endorphins. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say sleep.
You had a special porpoise in mind when you said that.
That's right. And porpoise in mind reminds me of John Lilly.
Yes, that's what I thought of.
These are all the birds that were living in Central Park in 1850.
It was brand new then, at the park.
I didn't know they had recorders then.
Yeah.
I got down there early when they finished the park. I didn't want to miss the moment.
They were staking out a homestead thanks to Olmsted. Ooh.
Okay. Yeah, an old McDonald had a farm. You know, when we were talking about people who did sound, nobody mentioned Tony Schwartz.
It's true. Are you getting this microphone here?
Well, is that where the sounds are coming from?
That's where it's coming from.
Shall we leave it?
Sure. A little nature.
Yeah, this is the Hearts Mountain program of the air.
Never heard anybody.
That goes back a little ways, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
I always wonder whether they really actually trained those parakeets or whether it was some kind of optical illusion. They were pretty clever.
They had a good business, that's for sure.
Yeah, they owned all of Secaucus.
That's also true.
You know, there are a flock of...
They were refugees.
I believe there are a flock of wild parrots that live in the telephone lines around Berkeley and Telegraph Avenue.
Really?
And they were—I forget the story—but they were released at some time, and they managed to survive and have several generations now that are feral, in essence. So, if you want some parrots, you want to see them, go to Berkeley.
Well, it's not too far from KPFA, then.
That's right.
On Shabbat. We were on Shattuck.
Shattuck Avenue. All right.
Want
to take a call?
Okay.
Try some calls?
Do you want to try some calls? Not without giving the phone number. Because it's been 2 hours.
Okay, let's give it again. Good idea. What is the phone? Oh, it's 212-209-2900.
Let's wait till...
Now you get rid of all six calls that are currently calling in and wait for the other people to call.
It's not going to
happen. Oh, I know how to make it happen.
I know, too.
Want to see? Shall I just press a random button for you, Bill?
Sure. What's the worst that's going to happen? Everything will blow up.
Yeah, go ahead. Okay. Well, oh, boy. See? Yeah, just go in reverse order.
Okay. WBAI, you're on the radio.
Yeah, just a couple of quick comments about what you were talking about. The first comment is that the Hearts Mountain people, if you remember when the voice, when the village voice was in trouble, they were one of the big bidders trying to buy it. They had accumulated such a mass of money from the parakeets. But this was true that they were in the bidding.
But the parakeets were shelling out their
they were shelling out the money to buy the village voice, literally. And I think they were part owners for a few years. But the other thing is that that colony of parrots, of the feral parrots that you were talking about, there's one near Brooklyn College. The same thing happened. They escaped from, you know, some of these cargo ships, and it's going on 20 years now. And they live in the transformers of the electric and telephone poles. And, yeah, it's always, you know, a tropical paradise at that part of Brooklyn. But you can see them in all year round. Because they could get warmth out of those things, so they live there all year round. And they've been very successful there too. So the same things happened here on the East Coast.
Wow. Next thing you know, I might hear there are real alligators in the sewers.
Well, that may be true. But Hart's Mountain isn't going to feed them. Anyway.
There was a rumor years ago that, maybe I read it in Evo, that Hart's Mountain was using pot seeds in its bird food, and that...
I remember that.
You do.
Yeah, you're
and
right.
And they began flying
upside
down.
Did you say now. Pot cheese?
Pot seeds.
Seeds, yes.
Oh. That's very different. Never mind.
Well, not hot seeds, but never mind. But EVO, of course, for people, that's East Village Other.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, okay, because too many acronyms. You gotta.
Yeah, well, now we're speaking about crumbs, you see.
And you know, R. Crumb has illustrated the first book of the Bible.
Yes, and...
profusely illustrated?
Quite. There's been a few pages released already.
Yeah, it's been published, and it's getting very positive reviews, actually.
Yes, it has.
I feel like I have to read the Bible of you first.
According to Crumb, right.
All those begats.
Right, well, see, it all ties up crumbs and seeds and everything else, so I'll give somebody else a chance.
Thank you. Hi, you're on the radio.
Hey, what's up? Watching Bill Maher on David Letterman's show. I hope you forgive me. Hello?
Sure, go on.
Anyway, he said the Democrats are moving to the right. The Republicans are moving to the mental hospital. I thought that was a cheap shot against mental patients. But anyway, let me tell you something. Betsy McCaughey was George Pataki's lieutenant governor, and she complained that she was under... scrutiny by the state police, and I think she lost her job. Now, what happened was Spitzer became governor, and Sheldon Silver, but Joseph Bruno complained that he was under surveillance by the state police, and it brought down Spitzer. So Betsy McCaughey, in my opinion, is a good person. You know what I mean?
Except for her totally off-the-wall views about everything created in this world. She may be a good person, but she's certainly not a sane person.
Well, on the count of she was right, a broken clock is right twice a day. I mean, really. She was right about being bothered by the state police. For political reasons.
Wasn't she taken apart pretty well on The Daily Show?
I didn't see that.
Yeah, I did. It was incredible. She had just absolutely no case to make.
I know. Well, yeah. I give you that point.
Okay.
Have a good night.
All right.
Thank you. Hi, you're on the radio.
Hi, Bill. You going to let me talk?
It depends.
Well, I'm going to talk, and I hope you won't cut me off, because, you know, I only believe in...
Hi, you're on the radio.
I saw the Beatles perform live on August 28, 1964. And not only that, but I seem to have world-exclusive footage of the stage. And not only did the Beatles play off the stage, but it's also the Doors, Janis Joplin, Jimi Hendrix, the Mamas and the Papas. Now, I just signed a contract with a major film distributor. I don't want to say the name of it because I don't want to make it public. So I'm looking for something to become iconic. The day I shot the film was the concert for Chicago and the Beach Boys, and I shot it, I believe, in 1972 at the Forest Hills Tennis Stadium. And I have never seen any other images of this stage. Do you know of any other images of the Forest Hills Tennis Stadium stage or the music concerts that were ever held there?
It's not my field of expertise at all.
The place where Dylan performed also and went electric.
That's right. And he was there for that day of the Beatles in August 28, 1964. Now, they flew the Beatles in by helicopter that day into the arena. By the way, it was a tiny house. It was like maybe 10,000 people at the most.
Is that where they still hold tennis matches?
No, they moved out of there in 1979, and we lost our intimacy because, you know, we were a pretty tight unit. Everybody knew each other. Chris Everett fell in love with me. Dustin Hoffman wanted to beat me up for some reason. I don't know, and I also have footage of Jim Boughton, the famous baseball great.
Ball four, he wrote.
Right. So he's on, and the way that we did the films, I did them in Super 8, but they were transferred in DigiBeta, and the quality is pretty astounding. I don't know if it's like 16 millimeter, but the DigiBetas that they're on are better. They're certainly better than the original Super 8s. So I'd like to get you a couple of images of this film, but you're kind of hard to reach. I mean, I don't know if you have an email or anything.
Well, we have a voicemail. You could
I hit that.
Oh yes, yes I do. I do know. Well, you can always leave a contact number there, and we'll get back to you. That's easy enough to do.
So do you think there's any chance that this Beatles? Well, it wasn't the Beatles show that I shot, but it was the stage, and it seems to be world exclusive footage and images. I'm telling you, they're really beautiful the way they look today. So do you think there's any chance of these films becoming iconic?
Depends upon who wants to worship what icon, I suppose.
You just never know.
Never know.
Yeah, it's really hard to make a decision about something that no one has seen yet. You know, it's sort of like asking you to make a conclusion prior to the event.
Okay, well, I'm telling you that the images are beautiful, so that's not the question.
Well, yeah, I know, but you were saying, taking your word for it, I guess we'll answer either yes or no. So yes, they'll become iconic, or no, they won't. Take your choice. We haven't seen it.
But suppose you see it and you say, yeah, you agree with me, and they are beautiful, then what?
Well, then you're going to be famous.
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah, you're gonna be on the red carpet along with many other notables.
I don't believe you.
Hey, it's not like Zapruder's film of JFK.
Right. Not only do I have this film, but I'm also the only one who shot the oldest building in Sullivan County near Woodstock called Fort Rusa. It was built in 1731. I shot the film at about the same time in the early 70s, and the building disappeared around 10 years after I shot the film, so I'm also the only one with the film of Fort Rusa. Like I said, it was near Woodstock, if I did say that, and it was the oldest building in Sullivan County, and I also have the only world-exclusive images of that.
Well, maybe and, let somebody take a look at it.
Yeah, let me ask you one more thing. I don't know if you remember this news story, but it happened in the early 70s. It was a house that was built on the Macy's lot on Queens Boulevard in Woodhaven. It was a private house.
Yes, it was supposed to be part of Macy's in the Round. Is that the building you're talking about? The structure?
It was a little private house.
Yeah, and it was in the way of the building plans.
Yeah.
Right, and there was a woman who was a holdout who would not sell her house, even though they made her an offer, which was very big money at the time, something like $500,000, I believe.
And I have films of that.
You know, here's something that you heard it here first, and it's not really private, but I told that same story to Bob to see if he remembered the story, and he did more than remember it. I guess I can tell. Bob's father was an accountant, and he was the one whom they sent over to try to talk this woman out of selling that property, and she refused.
Are there any images of the house?
I don't know. I remember.
I have it.
I can picture it. I saw it in the newspaper, maybe in the archives of some newspapers you could find it also.
I have the film.
And they had to alter their plans because of that.
And they had to wait. She died about a year later, and that's when they demolished her house.
Okay, well, lay it on us and check it
out. I can't. I don't have an email.
I want to say thank you, everybody. Hey, everybody.
Nice to be with you. Good
night.
Good night. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good day. He can leave his email.
Hi, this is Cloudy.
Hi.
Speaking for the weak, bitter ants. Do you ever, are you familiar at all with the TV program that was one of the Roddenberry ones? I don't know if it continued, but it was on for a while. Andromeda?
I wasn't.
Yeah, that was the one that was produced by Major Barrett Roddenberry. Andromeda.
Right. They had the Nietzscheans.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, there was a whole kind of, the idea of Andromeda was that there had been a kind of federation a long time ago in the past, which had crumbled, and they were all that was left. Captain Dylan Hunt, played by, I forgot the name of the actor.
I never watched it.
Neither did I.
Oh. Anyway, but there had been a sort of a history in which the federation had collapsed into the hands of the Nietzscheans.
I used to watch Superman. Speaking of Nietzsche.
Did you ever watch Star Trek New Generation?
No. I never even watched the old generation.
Actually, it was Next
reruns.
Generation.
Next, whatever.
All right. Well, in the elections, the most dismaying thing was that in Maine, they voted down gay marriage. I sort of thought that maybe this would be the first time that they'd have a referendum victory for gay marriage in a state, after having been defeated in California, but that was a disappointment.
Well, this is what happens when you have 20% of the electorate turning out to vote.
Actually, no. In Maine, the turnout was high for such an off-year election.
What, it was 30%?
Well, I know it may have even been higher, like 50%. Wow. If I can, let me see, in the New York Times, they reported it. Here it says, now in Oregon, they're going to try to do it. And see if it will pass. But they're going to keep trying in California. Voter turnout was higher than expected in Maine, perhaps 50%, officials said, but not nearly as high as in last year's presidential election. But, that's very high for an off-year election, 50%.
Yeah, I guess it's high for a lot of elections.
Right, but
so much for representative democracy. When at least half the people are not represented.
No, I mean, and not only that, more than, yeah. I mean, but that's...
And it's oftentimes the people with the axe to grind are the ones who show up.
The maniacs in this case.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, in this particular case, it may have been a lot... they might have been motivated by the gay marriage referendum, and although there are a lot of people who are pro-gay marriage, there are maybe a lot of sort of... Christian conservative types that were motivated to vote in a higher proportion than usual. So the higher turnout, for example, the turnout in the 2008 election was not substantially higher than in 2004, but the turnout among the Democrats' constituencies was higher, younger voters and so forth, whereas many of the Republican voters were disgusted and didn't go to the polls. And so that was, in other words, how high the turnout is doesn't tell you exactly the composition of the turnout. But it seems though that you, I mean,
what you're saying is there's not a strict proportionality between the subgroups and the total group.
Right, and how high it goes.
Right.
I mean, usually you'd figure in off-year elections, the Democrats don't do as well. In general. First, if they're the party in power, and secondly, because the electorate is wealthier, older, and whiter in like 2009 election in Virginia than was true in 2008, and the same thing is true in New Jersey. But then there may be individual variations that could bump the general average up one way or the other. But it's still a disappointment because it would seem, Maine is a fairly, Maine is a reasonably liberal enough state that you you'd think at this point that people might vote to gay marriage.
Which was that saying that?
Oh yeah, they have Olympia Snow. That's a real sound advertisement for.
Was it saying? Was it as Maine goes, so goes, or was it some other state?
It was for a long time. They said as Maine goes, so goes the United States. But in 1936, Maine and Vermont went for the Republican candidate whose name I've forgotten. It's just at the tip of my tongue, but Alf Landon.
He's the one who said the vice presidency is not worth a pitcher full of warm and you fill in the fluid.
Starts with an S.
Fill in the fluid. Well, anyway, we're going to.
With a
go
T.
On. Should we take another
All right,
call?
Let's take another call. Okay, thanks.
Hi, you're on the radio.
Well, I guess you're not there.
BAI, you're on the air.
Yes, hello.
Hello?
Yes, I'm on the air?
Yes.
Oh, good. You know, Bob, I think your guests will probably remember when they started the simultaneous stereo on AM on one side and FM on the other side.
I remember that, yes.
Yes, yes. I was one of those people that listened, right, and it was WQXR.
Yeah, they did opera like that.
Yeah, yeah. It was wonderful. I called up to let your audience know that even though QXR was sold, as we know, by the New York Times to for another Spanish-speaking station.
Do they still publish the New York Times? I heard they were having a rough time and getting rid of a lot of writers. I mean,
well, they're still around, but I think it's all on the internet now.
Yeah, well, they don't. They haven't figured out a way to make that profitable.
No.
And
but I must say that QXR is still there. You know, WNYC has incorporated QXR.
Yes, I know.
And track number 2 on the HD radio is really quite good. Because QXR in itself is very weak signal, but on WNYC has the HD broadcast, and it comes in very well on the number 2 channel.
Oh, I have to give that a try. Thanks.
Can you think of any way for WBAI to take advantage of that bit of technological advancement?
Well, there's nothing wrong with HD radio, even though it didn't catch on for too long.
Well, here's what's wrong with it as far as I'm concerned. The technology requires a new transmitter. The signal strength is not... There are areas where we would not be heard where we are heard now, because of the characteristics of the kind of transmission we'd have to use, unless they lick that. And also, there is this other really important thing that it would cost a hell of a lot of money. We should do a lot of things that we don't have the money to do.
No. And I was really upset when QXR was sold, really, I must tell you, because I've been listening to that station, talking iconic and traditional things. QXR has been really in the forefront.
Well, you know, I know a lot of people who work there. There was some wonderful... woman who worked at W2, as a matter of fact, who worked at WBAI, who became very important over at WQXR.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes.
What?
Yeah, and their email addresses were suddenly changed overnight from.
Yeah.
Are you in touch with either of them?
Are you asking me?
Yes, Rob.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you have to. It's radio. You can't tell who he's. Talk to. Well, actually, I haven't seen MM in a while, but I know that she was a victim of the of the purge or whatever you want to call it. But this is the traditional way that radio stations change around by consolidating, absorbing, or simply just changing their format overnight.
She should really quick try to do something with WBAI. She won't be making any less money than she'd make on unemployment. We could really use someone like her.
Well, we could use a lot of people. You know, I just had a comment about this HD thing. You know, as far as I'm concerned, I would be prepared to listen to good programming in noisy mono. You know, what the technology to me, is far down when it's compared with the content. And so content to me matters more than any of this stuff.
Oh, I agree with you. Mm-hmm. But it's missing.
You mean the message is the medium.
That's right.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And by the way, do you have classical
it's
music?
It's that too.
So much for stereo and multidimensional.
Sometimes, very rarely, but we there's no...
Yeah.
It's not verboten, and there are opera programs on WBAI, and
it used to be part of the mix.
I tell you, what WBAI has been is like every one of us has a record collection that has hip hop and jazz and folk and sound pictures and the whales singing and the seabirds crying, and we all have these, we all have kind of half-baked versions of the kind of acoustic environment that Charlie Morrow makes.
I myself have a beautiful collection.
We're all literate is not the word, but we all have a very broad, repertoire of things that we have heard electronically. And Charlie wants to get out of here, and before he goes, I would like to tell a little story about how I was persona non grata at WBAI after 16 years of whatever I was doing before.
Some say, what did you mean was? I'm not saying that.
Because of that, I suddenly stopped getting offers from other radio stations and other things in the media. Suddenly, I was, and not just suddenly, but for a long time, I probably still am, thought of as crazy, unmanageable, too hip for the room, too old to cut the mustard, you know, all those things, right? And they were saying this for a long time, but that didn't stop Charlie Morrow from hiring me to do something. And I just want to say thank you for what you did, because it, like, was very important to, you know, restoring my own self-image to me. And
well, but you do beautiful work, and just because there's
I think you have a great following.
Yeah, you've got a wonderful following. when you speak, people listen.
And it's already nearly 3 o'clock. I'm still up and listening to you. As a matter of fact, it's the only show I listen to on BAI is your show. I really enjoy it very much, and thank you very much.
Well, thanks for saying that. That's really
it's the truth. It's absolute truth.
Well, thank you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for.
And I want to say thank you again to Charlie Morrow for coming up here and telling us about how music is going to make us look up as well as look down, and look to the side and do all of the things that we're going to have to do to protect ourselves in the next era.
Exactly, you know? it gets you ready for life in the real politic.
Very best to you.
And to you, thank you very much.
Good night. Good night. Good morning.
Good night, Charlie. Thanks very much. Thanks very much.
Thank you. When is the new telephone system coming in, folks?
Oh, gee.
This one suddenly stopped working.
It's not here yet.
No, if I didn't know better, I'd think it sounded like some guy who...
Who believes
that freedom of speech for himself is possible.
You want to hear my latest idea?
No.
Come on, well, you have to be brave. Okay, let me say it. It's only a few seconds.
I don't know, Monroe.
Come on, Bob, be a good American, if there is such a thing.
A good human being, if there is such a thing besides me. Monroe, thank you.
Come on, Bob.
Thank you for being an American.
I'm a good American, I'm not a bad American, okay?
It makes me feel a lot of...
I can't help it, I was born here.
You know, it makes me feel...
Come on, Bob. Look who just walked in.
It looks like Bruce Springsteen's ghost. Oh, wow.
Come on, Bob.
The face is pale, and... Bill, I wish you'd...
It's a short statement. You brave?
Yes. It was as short as possible.
Hello? Hello?
Somebody there?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Don't know. Well, who are you, masked man?
How you doing, Bob? My name is Bruce Frankenstein. I came up to sing you a Halloween song. But you weren't here last week, man. So I waited around, hoping you'd be back. I know you got preempted. No radio on Nameable last week. That was the bad news. Good news is, I got enough oil of oregano to last me till next Halloween. Can't sing, so I gotta scream. Wishing everybody happy Halloween. Can't dance, I got two left feet. And knock, knock, trick or treat. I was made in America. I was made in America. I was made in America. I'm Bruce Frankenstein in America. Knock on the door, I go see who it is. Trick-or-treaters, no Jehovah's Witnesses. They don't take no candy, for heaven's sake. They give me a watchtower and a wake. And I was made in America. I was made in America. I was made in America. I was built ram tough in America. I got a brother in Pennsylvania, got another in Transylvania. He's a bat named Dracula. That cat dresses spectacular. But I was made in America. I was made in America. I was made in America, USDA certified organic in America. Got a wife made in Taiwan. She wears her hair in a big bouffant. I met her on a beach wearing just a thong. Bang a gong by T-Rex was our wedding song. I come when I hear her call. She looks like Halle Berry in Monsters Ball. I got the brain of abnormal. A prom for midgets is a semi-formal. I was made in America. I was
parts manufactured in Canada, assembled in Mexico. Made in America, I was made in America, I was made in America. I'm Bruce Frankenstein in America. Like to give my band Young Wombats a plug. My real name is Dennis MC Do No Hug. Ah, 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 wah, yeah, ah, 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 made in America. I was made in America. I was made. How many people out there made in America? That's not many, not many, not many. Made in America.
You know, there's a guy who does a song just like that.
Is he from...
Oh, just a little different, yeah.
You know,
he used to play down near the beach in New Jersey.
Yeah. Right. You know, a lot of people say that. They say I remind them, I bear a resemblance to a big rock and roll star from New Jersey. But I still say, I don't think I look anything like John Bon Jovi. I really don't. You want to hear another one?
Is this the way you dressed for All Souls Day with the, you know, kind of white powder on your face? And
I kind of was just left over from Halloween, you know. I just was out all night and I just strolled into church for that holy day of obligation. Yes, sir. Here's another Halloween song that you might recognize, but it's a little different.
It's a little cold for that headband you're wearing.
You think?
Yeah.
Why so, Bob?
Well, I don't know. Usually you wear them to catch the sweat, keep it out of your eyes when you're on stage entertaining the people.
Yeah, I usually do that. You know, when I'm on stage entertaining with the band, man, I'm all over the place. Here, I'm just kind of keeping it cool.
And,
but
I don't see an American flag either anywhere.
There's actually one in my little jack o' lantern here,
and it's made in China.
Actually, my great 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 pappy, he invented this. He invented the jack o' lantern. He's from Ireland. His name was Jack O'Lantern, and he invented the pumpkin, and he carved it up, and the rest is, as they say, is history. So
rest
anyway,
is dinner.
Yeah, right on. I was working in the lab late one night when my eyes beheld an eerie sight. For my monster from his slab began to arise when suddenly, to my surprise, he did the mosh! He did the mosh, the mosh, the mosh, the mosh! He screamed, "Oh, mosh, did the mosh!" He did the mosh, did the mosh, did the mosh, the mosh! From the laboratory in the castle east to the master bedroom where the vampires feast, the ghouls all came from their humble abode to get a jolt from my electrode. And do the mosh, do the mosh, 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 the mosh. The joint was rocking, all were digging the sound. Ego on chain, back by the bay and hound. The local group was about to arrive with a vocal group, the Crypt Kicker Five. And to the mosh, to the mosh, the mosh, the mosh, the mosh. It's a great mosh, smash to the mosh. It's a hard day to fly to the mosh, to the mosh, the mosh. Summers were having fun, party had just begun. Party with the blood, Tanya and his son. Our friend was gone, who died, gone to drink. She knew a trouble about just one thing. Opened the lid, shook his fist, said, "Well, the humble, the mosh, the mosh, now the mosh, now the mosh, the mosh, the mosh, the mosh. It's a great mosh, smash to the mosh. Now everything's cool, that's the father's mind. Run the boss, it's a hidden line. You the living, the boss where too. When you get to the door, tell him Bruce Frankenstein and the Young Fun Ghouls sent you. And you can tell him you heard it here first on Radio Unnameable with Bob Fass and unpaid Bill Prop on WBAI 99.5 FM New York City. Or streaming on the web at WBAI.org.
You, you made-
may as well mention the other station.
Kosilov, Alaska, I know it was one of them.
KWMD.
There you go. And they got WJFF up there in Jeffersonville, New York.
And CJLY in Nelson, British Columbia.
All right. Did we get everybody in?
Now we got them covered.
So all of you out there, do the boss, do the boss, the boss, the boss, the boss. It's the rain, dog, do the boss. Just all gonna fly, do the boss. Do the boss, the boss, 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 do the boss. You know, I'm consistent. I've never gotten through that entire song without dropping my pick. And I did. I was almost there, man. I was there. I was on like the last chorus. And again, I dropped it. But once again, like Tiger Woods.
Can you say that on the radio? Oh, this is Safe Harbor.
What can we say?
I don't know, man.
I don't even know.
What can we say?
Pick. So, say pick.
Anyway, I just wanted to drop by. I wish you a happy Halloween, a belated. You know, people think I'm like a week late for Halloween, but don't think of it that way. Just think I'm like, you know, like 359 days early. All right. Happy Halloween, everybody, from Bruce Frankstein. Rock and roll good, WBAI good, Bob Fass great.
You're great too, Dennis.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you.
My pleasure.
The first time you showed up was when Marshall fell and hurt himself,
right.
And you tried to help get us to the hospital and back.
That was quite a night, Bob. And I don't know if you remember riding my car, and you asked me if I owned a cat, because it smelled like a cat had crawled in the back seat of my car and died. I think it was an organic vegan tofu sandwich.
I was hitting up on you because we were like trying to place feral cats that need a home.
That's what it was about. I thought it was about the stench. Actually, somebody gave me one of those.
No, I thought he is a good guy. Hey, he's trying to help us.
Right on, man.
Give him a cat. That'll fix him. No good deed goes unpunished.
You know, I heard about your show. I started listening. My cousin, Juice Brewstein, said he was up here with Alana Amram, and I think the Rough Gems is the name of her band. So he said it was a great place to come up and play, so I thought I would. Yeah, I had so much fun. I'm going to send our other cousin, Bruce Holstein, up here someday. Or maybe I'll send Blue Sprucestein over for Christmas.
And there's also a breed called a Goldstein. It doesn't go moo, it goes new. That's a little too inside.
Where's my drums when I need them? Are we having fun yet?
I was thinking about when John Zacherle came up to help pitch in the 1969 marathon. And, you know, obviously hearing that song reminds me of him. You know, he lives up on West 86th Street. I don't know what he's doing these days. I think he's still around.
I heard he's doing the Monster Mosh.
I think they bring him out, like, on Halloween once a year, maybe. I don't know. Was he on CBS this year? They usually ask him to do something. He was a great DJ when he was doing DJ stuff.
Yeah.
But who can ever forget him holding up the cauliflowers from his wife's alleged coffin and talking about the brain, his wife's beautiful brain. Really interesting and with it guy who was a good supporter of WBAI, John Zacherle.
He was on right before or after Long John Nebel, if I remember.
He was on television.
Oh yeah, that too.
Yeah,
well, television. He used to introduce the movies, you know,
Hey, it's time to do officially a station break, and perhaps Bill Propp can take it from here.
I'm honored. You are tuned to listener-supported, that's important, listener-supported,
amen,
non-commercial radio, WBAI in New York City. We're at 99.5 megahertz, and we're also being heard at this moment On
channel 256.
Oh, that's right. Of the penal code? Oh, wait a minute. No.
You have to remember that. You remember it's channel 256?
And how many? Yes, I do. But I wouldn't. If you asked me a quiz right now, I would have missed it. But now that you said it in retrospect.
Penal code. Can you say that?
Bob must remember that. Wait, do the full break, and then I'll tell you about channel 256.
Okay. This is WBAI New York, also KWMD, Kosilov, Alaska, CJLY in Nelson, British Columbia, and WJFF in Jeffersonville and other places north of the Tappan Zee. And we're streaming on the World Wide Web at www.wbai.org.
Oh, tell them about the website, Bill.
I think I said it early on, but the movie, Radio Unnameable, the station's website. Yeah,
the station.
That's right. I did say it long ago, but
tell
I'll reiterate
it too, if you want.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
Tell them about those others too.
Yeah, the RadioUnnameableTheMovie.com.
That's right. There is a movie. This you can see a trailer called Radio Unnameable Movie. Just Google that, and it'll pop right up, I think. You need a broadband, obviously, if it's movie. Anyway, yeah, if you go...
You need a broad sense of humor.
That's true. I guess so. If you want to pledge right now, even though no one's going to be telling you to call right this moment, anyway, the marathon room, which is ending in 1550, don't call that now. Nobody's there. But you can pledge. And it will reflect on the programming you're listening to. There's a way to do that, I'm told. Kathy Davis told me that just tonight, just before I came in here. Just go to the website or archive.wbai.org or the main website I gave earlier, wbai.org. And you can fool around there, and you'll eventually get to the program grid. And I understand now that if you look for it and read... Something I haven't done on this website, obviously. There's a way to pledge. You can pledge overnight for Radio Unnameable or for any other program you'd like. And it will be appreciated. And you don't even have to request a premium, which may take a while. So anyway, that would really be helpful, though. We still are in a fund drive, and it's going to go on for a little bit longer. And the station really was an
eternity, I believe.
Hand-to-mouth existence. For the time being, and slowly clawing our way back up.
So you want to know about Channel 256?
Oh, please.
Look at the transmitter log. Does it say Channel 256 at the top? It used to. You know,
there it is. Yeah.
I posted a transmitter log on my Facebook page, one that is signed by Carol Ratner, Neil Conan, Steve Post, and Vin Scalza. From 30 East 39th Street, and at the top it says Channel 256. And, of course, if you remember sign-off that we used to do.
That part I remember.
About how we operate on Channel 256 at 99.5.
With an effective radiated power.
Of 5.4 kilowatts.
No, that's the actual. The effective is 50,000.
Well, yeah, but you know, it was 5.4 kilowatts horizontal, 3.85 kilowatts vertical.
Depending
I can't
upon...
believe you guys are sitting here waxing...
Waxing poetic
about numbers.
Yeah, but you're the one who wanted to. You're the one who wanted to play the real sign off with Evie, right? And you did. But what this station has been missing for years is the actual sign off. We thank you for joining us today, hope that our broadcasting has encouraged you to join us again tomorrow.
That was what it said originally.
That's what it said.
And it sounded to me to be so
dry,
cold and dry. And so
next thing you know,
decided
when you
start
Spangled Banner right after that,
a kind of a love song to the audience, to make it into a kind of like something that you might whisper in pillow talk to someone.
And we missed that.
WBAI. Bidding you a fond and loving good night. That's what it was like.
Right.
That's what it was like.
We were on in monophonic, not 24 hours a day.
And I thought you'd get it, but...
were you lying down or standing up in order to hear?
That was another thing that Steve Post invented. That was... great technological advance. And speaking of technological advances,
okay.
You're on the radio.
Yes, to continue, if I may.
Oh.
May I?
This is devolution.
May I?
Did you say technological advances?
If WBAI had handled
the dismissal of Bernard White differently. If they had, if Pacifica had put Bernard,
would have made no difference. But I'm not going
to.
I'm not going to discuss this.
If they had given Bernard
not
a sabbatical,
until after the election has been.
No,
counted.
No, no, I'm not running.
Just off at the mouth.
Can't do
Monroe.
That.
And your chant is on the air. Hello.
Hello, Bob.
Good morning.
How are you?
Okay. How are you?
I'm alive, I believe. I think my pulse is still going. I observed a couple of points raised, one by you and one by a couple of your listeners. Am I on now?
What? Are you on what?
The radio.
Yes, yes, you're on.
Okay.
On the electrons.
Okay, very, very good. I have some of those. I'll dance them towards you.
Actually, it's photons, but it's okay.
Well, no, it's not. It's just
phone
lines.
Yes, it is.
It's electrons.
I love that kind of an argument.
No, it is.
We're all bosons on this topic.
Next World Series is going to be electrons versus photons, just so you know.
Believe me, the oscillation of electrons in an antenna will propagate photons.
If they
That's
do,
how it works.
If they do, they better clean it up.
That's why we have a frequency of 99.5 megahertz, which is not
so
in the range of an electron oscillation.
Explain that to me,
Bob. Where did you get these comedians? At any rate,
they came up and offered to bring us coffee.
Can't beat that. They didn't bring me any though. At any rate, you made a remark that you found baseball very boring. And I came up with a theory about...
Not exactly. In the sense of I'm alienated because my Dodgers went to Los Angeles. See, that's when I stopped caring about baseball, really. You know.
Was that in the Old Testament?
Yes, in the Old Testament.
The
Old Testament.
Okay, at any rate, I developed a theory many years ago, I'd say 35, 40 years ago when I was a kid at Columbia, that explained to me why baseball... was such a fascinating sport for humans. And it's based on what is called in evolutionary anthropology the hunting hypothesis, that human males, throughout the formative eras of the species, hunted particularly by...
Well, so is tennis. So is badminton. So what?
Well, no. Let me just run this for this little few minutes. And the main things in baseball are striking with a stick... Mm-hmm. And throwing. And those are the two ways that Homo sapiens, the male of the species primarily, but also some females at some times, brought down game, killed animals, and also killed enemies. And those are the two major weapons, rocks and sticks, that humans evolved with.
Well, don't you think we should evolve beyond that?
What are those guys doing? That's the secret, Bob.
Picking
that's the secret.
Rocks and sticks?
No.
Uniforms?
I understand where you're going. Let me tell you why it's important. Humans get to do what comes naturally to them. What
sure,
humans
so
do when
cats.
They play, when you watch
so
little
cats,
boys play.
You put a string in front of a cat, it's going to involuntarily almost strike for it as though it were some sort of small creature. But humans, have... Are you saying that this is a way, baseball is a way to purge ourselves of these...
In a way, yes. We get to exercise those proclivities that are innate in humans, in particular the human male, without damaging anybody, because at the end of the game, everybody goes home. It simulates warfare in some ways, and it simulates hunting even more. Football, for example, if you listen to the George Carlin routine on it,
exactly.
Football simulates warfare rather directly. And there's nothing about hunting in football. It's straight warfare. Take territory, smash bodies, all of that. But in baseball, much like in hunting, you have to have patience. You have to wait for the moment. You have to wait for the explosive moment when you can do something and make
hey,
a... Hey,
wake up out there in left field!
Well, don't wake the hunters. They get one more hour to sleep before they go out.
It's tough to bite into a good baseball.
It depends on how good your teeth are. The point I'm trying to make is that... Human males get to express a lot of what was innately
sort
in
of like
them
pad stakes to
in me. Order to make them good hunters in particular, but also it helped in warfare. For example, in warfare, you can damage another human being or harm, defeat them either in direct contact or with projecting something. In direct contact, you could have a stick you hit them with. In projecting something, you'd have a missile you throw, which would be a spear or anything else, but also just a rock or a rock thrown by a sling, a la David and Goliath. And those are the two primary ways humans could harm each other. Now, baseball draws directly upon those skills. It lets us exercise those skills and refine them and use them. And all we do is score runs, and everybody goes home at the end of the day.
And so does the locker room pats each other on the ass, you know?
Well, in a co-ed locker room, I would indulge in that, yes.
Jumps up and down, hugs other men. Come on.
No, I'm off with the cheerleaders. You get up with the men. Go ahead.
Well, you know, it's just how I, you know, you're not going to make me change my mind about a thing like
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah. Well, you listen a little longer, I'll change your mind.
Oh, really?
Yes, indeed. Another thing I want to touch on. A couple of individuals bemoaned the fact that humans are still indulging in killing each other. And one of the principal factors in that is that as so Homo sapiens evolved, it got so successful that it multiplied beyond anything that any mammalian species has ever done before. I would guess that.
It happens that Abner Doubleday was an very abstemious man, and he never ate meat, and he hardly ever ate vegetables that were still alive. He would wait until they died naturally, you know, drying out in the fields or something like that. And
well,
he would. That's Abner Doubleday, the father of baseball.
Look
how it's evolved.
There's some dispute over the extent to which he was the sole creator. He kind of formulated things that many other people had worked on.
Like Jolly Morton and jazz?
I'm sure, but I mean, you know, almost every popular athletic game uses the instruments that evolved from other games.
Yes.
You know, there's a whole bunch of racket games and
of course it's Native American.
But they all evolved from either hunting or warfare. And they exercise the same proclivities that humans have that they enjoy. Well, for example, if you watch any dogs or cats, or we all know dogs and kittens very well, and we know how puppies and kittens play. And what they do when they play with each other is they're doing two things. They're practicing combat with each other, and they're practicing the skills they need in hunting.
Well, sure.
That's exactly what humans do.
Yes, but play is a rehearsal in a certain way for the skills that you have to use later in life. But I don't know.
Suggesting baseball is actual warfare, and it's not. It's simulated warfare, and everybody goes home. They just keep score, and the winner has the most runs. And it allows all of those proclivities to be expressed and to be enjoyed, and other individuals to watch it go on. And
right,
you know,
and it has rules, and there's someone who is supposed to make sure that things are not arbitrarily decided, but who's the final decision, and, you know, on with it. And there's a level playing field, ostensibly, but, you know, it doesn't float my boat, I guess.
I'd much rather
sit and watch a play, you know, or a movie where there's something beyond the strength of... I like to watch
a movie
dance,
about baseball. How about a movie about baseball?
You know, even Michael Jackson, after a while... You know, Fred Astaire. Even I'd rather see Fred Astaire in a dramatic movie than in a dance movie.
Part of baseball is it involves patience and waiting your turn.
I don't know why that's
what
Fred Astaire.
That's what hunting,
you know,
involves. Not
Ginger Rogers did the same things that Fred Astaire did, only backwards and in high heels.
That's right.
Excuse me. I'm sorry. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. Well, then again...
No, what I'm saying is that their athletics is, a great expression of what the human body can do at its, you know, most agile or inventive. But so are so many other things that are,
But it beats blowing people away from the air, though. Yeah.
Well, I call athletics simulated warfare because you get to express the same things and nobody dies. Everybody goes home at the end of the day. That's the great thing about it.
Well, not in all athletics. There are,
well, for the most part.
Some football players go home concussed, brain damaged. So
that's, of course, a problem. Muhammad Ali,
who was a...
Finally, that's being addressed.
Well, what are you going to put an extra level of cotton felt in a helmet?
No, you prevent head-to-head hits. There are ways to make rules to keep it from happening. And I get kids who play football. I played football.
The idea of boxing is to knock your opponent unconscious. That's the goal.
I was a boxer when I was a kid. I know all about boxing.
You know,
I'll tell you, oddly, I was an amateur boxer. And when I got to the point where I saw somebody getting in trouble.
Sounds like a contradiction in terms, doesn't it?
But amateur means lover. When I saw my opponent in trouble, rather than go in for the kill, I backed off and let him recover. I couldn't help myself. I had to do that.
Decent fellow. Not everybody is like that.
My mother might not say that, but you can say it.
Tyson, you know what Tyson said when he was asked about what he did for a living? I don't know. I can't say it on the air.
Well, he had many, many foul things to say, but he was raised in a horrible way. I was raised in a loving family in a religious household with loving parents and all of that.
What are you doing trying to be a boxer?
He was on the street struggling to stay alive.
All true.
At seven.
But when asked what he did for a living, he said, well, I can't say the word.
He said things I ripped their hearts out. He said things like, I'm going to eat their hearts. I'm going to
knock their
gonads off.
Well, that's jive, you know, stuff.
But that reflects his background.
Street corner.
If you and I grew up the way he did, we might be the same way.
Yeah, right. That doesn't bother me. But it doesn't bother me that he said that. I think it's a great, intelligent insight. That is what he does for a living. He makes other people not able to think as well or act as well or walk around as well
or eat as well or breathe as well or see as well.
He hits them in the head as many times as he can. He hits them in the belly as many times as he can and as hard as he can until they fall down and in some cases, have trouble getting up again. It's also true that... He sometimes did this to people he met in the street and to women who he claimed to love. He was nonetheless, a great athlete. But I couldn't stand to watch boxing. I just remember that for a while anyway, boxing was outlawed in Cuba.
And Cuba has, over the last 30, 40 years, Cuba has had the best amateur boxing team in the world.
Well, that's...
Led by the great heavyweight Teofilo Stevenson.
Well...
They still have bullfighting there?
Hmm?
Bullfighting. They have bullfighting in Cuba? Do you know?
I don't think they do. Not since Castro.
Uh-huh. So, being kind to animals doesn't include human beings.
Well, many boxers have said, and many boxing coaches and boxing aficionados have said, amateur boxing is different from pro boxing because you have a referee watching all the time. As soon as someone starts to get a little bit injured, they step in and stop and give them a 10 count. Pro boxing is different. That's professional. That's a money sport and whatever. And amateur boxing is a much more sportsmanship and concern for the welfare of the fighters in it. That's what I did as amateur boxing. And it's a fantastic sport. If you've never done it, it engages everything in you like almost no other sport except any other kind of full contact.
Tango dancing is very good, too.
Well, don't. There has to be an element. You get to hold a woman. No, there has to be. Well, that's a whole different sport. I was going to say there has to be an element of fear, an element of possible self-destruction, and I guess holding a woman leads to self-destruction more than anything else.
Well, sometimes when the self is destroyed, a new entity can be created.
That happened to me a couple of times.
Yeah. Ain't life grand?
Yes, it is. Yeah. Oh, and I would let me get back to another thing I was going to make.
What do you make of that guy who killed all those people in the army base today? Yeah, that's a good question. That's a good thing to say because there was somebody who killed a whole bunch of people the day before, and suddenly.
First of all, I didn't watch much of it, but I got the fact that he was. I don't think he was an American citizen, and he had a Middle Eastern name, and maybe he was wrapped up in things we didn't know about, and maybe he had conflicted loyalties, and maybe he just simply was driven crazy by the intense pressure and stress of what happens in warfare. That's entirely possible. The human brain isn't meant to sit there and participate in a sport where you blow humans' brains out and you see your buddy's brains beside you fly apart and fall on your uniform and on your feet. Humans can't take that. It's too much for humans, well, at least decent human beings, to survive. They can't do it. And it breaks their brains.
He was supposed to have been a psychologically trained
healer. Yeah, he's a medical doctor. He's a psychiatrist.
He's a psychiatrist. Is that so?
Yep.
Not a psychologist.
No, a psychiatrist.
I believe he was a psychiatrist, a medical doctor.
Who does he go to see?
Well, who knows what kind of stresses he was under? Obviously, he was under horrific stresses, obviously.
There was a similar case like that in Israel, a Jewish-American emigre, I guess, from Brooklyn. His name was Baruch Goldstein.
Oh, Brooklyn explains it all.
Okay.
That explains it.
He went and became an Israeli citizen, and he was serving as a medic there. He was a medical doctor. And one day he decided to go into a mosque and blow away something like 28 people before he was stopped. Just like that, out of the blue.
Well, warfare turns you into...
So you're both saying that if these guys had played baseball...
No, I'm not saying that. No. This is what war does. And I think that at least football and other sports are conditioning, preconditioning, sort of toning one to enlist in the military.
Yes.
Why do they always have military personnel when introduced? And it's always the Star Spangled Banner is always sung by the finest, you know, the military corps. This is all.
Oh, I agree. Everything you're saying, yes, absolutely, obviously. And in fact, in what was the famous saying in Britain during the days of empire the Battle of Trafalgar and the Battle of and Napoleon's defeat at the hands of Wellington. All these great victories were won on the playing fields.
On the playing fields of Eton.
Yes, exactly. It trains you for war.
And they were lost by all the people that they fought against who hadn't eaten.
Food for thought.
That's one of your better ones, Bob. That's one of your better ones. I like that. Okay, I was going to get. You only got a couple of minutes here left, I see, I believe. You're going to go for five more minutes, right?
So it's true. It's true.
Well, I was going to say something about the species Homo sapiens and why. See, when the species Homo sapiens was first evolving, it was a very widely scattered species. And the tendency of a given tribe to have combat with another basically occurred at the boundaries of their territories.
Of the diamond, the edge of the diamond.
The edge of the territory, the hunting territories, and it was to keep them spread and dispersed widely enough so the territory could keep them both tribes alive.
Let's get them Neanderthals.
Well, what's happened over the last 3,000 years is there's been a huge explosion of the number of human beings. In Caesar's day, there must have been maybe, I don't know, somewhere between 5 and 10 million people. By 1800, there was close to a billion people. Then it rapidly grew. Now, what, 6.5 going to 7 billion people? And what's happened is...
I know what's causing that.
Me too.
Malthus did.
My mother said I shouldn't do that, but I've done it.
Are you wearing glasses?
So, I'm sorry. So, what you're saying is the population needs to be purged.
I'm not saying that. But
by
what I'm
war
saying is,
once in a while, because otherwise it'll become so enormous that we'll be up to our
It creates huge conflict among people, and many scientists and ethnologists have observed other species, and in other species, whether it be rats or rabbits or various kinds of species, when the population gets too dense, they start fighting each other and killing each other.
I've noticed that. I had a cage full of mice. My wife, at a certain time in my life, she no longer is my wife, although I'm proud to say that we have had an occasional decent word. She liked mice. She had little jewelry made of, gold, silver mice rings, and decorated mice in her room, mice embroidered on her pillow. And so when I went into Max's one night and the owner said, listen, I have some pet mice that my daughter has too many of. Anybody want some mice? And I said, well, I'll take two. He said, you want two males? They'll fight. I said, well, what else you got? He said, the male and a female. I took a male and a female. This was Mickey Ruskin, who was the guy who ran the place. And so I took these two mice and I brought them home, and bang, in a few days, there were a few more mice, and then there were even more mice.
Males, okay.
And then the cage was overflowing with these mice, and there were like mothers in different, it wasn't really a cage, it was a big aquarium type thing, and like these mother mice would be in one part of the cage, and they would have these litters, and they would go to get a bite to eat, and another mother mouse would come over and try to drown their babies in the little pool of water that we had there, and then the mother mouse would come back and take the baby back from the water and put it in the litter, and this would go on, and they climbed all over each other. There would sometimes be terrible fights inside with mouse limbs scattered all over the field. You know, it looked like terrible things. It looked like
Antism.
Gaza, you know? It was awful.
Overcrowding drives species.
Right, but wait. I had two Siamese cats, and they were putting an extra stress on the population. So in response to the extra stress on the population of these two Siamese cats crawling up on top, the mice mated more furiously, so there were more and more and more mice.
You mice torturer. My God.
But
you know, mice are really good at English muffins.
I'm sure they are. I'm sure they are. I'm sure that... they're sold in places with arches in front of them in various cities in the country.
That's a crock.
You're going to get sued now.
Yeah, Oprah was.
Well, my final point on what Homo sapiens has done.
Homo sapiens has used up the last couple of minutes. Is someone coming in?
Let me give you a couple of quick sentences.
It's the precious airtime of Ibrahim Gonzalez, I believe, or Ahmed Ali, who is...
I think humans make up like 80% of all large mammals on the planet.
They're 80%. Both humans. You don't mind that I'm... It sounds terrible, I know.
They're large radio, mammals?
But I'm trying to keep my throat moist with some sort of a lozenge, and... I hear it clicking against my remaining teeth, and it's...
Okay.
I hope it's not annoying.
Well, I want to thank you for the time, Robert. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed your sense of humor. You had a couple of good zingers there, and I appreciated them. And thank you for the interchange. And you other two gentlemen, I don't know your names, but it was interesting and fun. Thank you very much.
May I ask you what you do in real life?
I'm a comprehensivist. That's one who studies all... disciplines simultaneously, omnidirectionally, but I make my living as a lawyer.
Please remember that this program is supported by the listener members of WBAI New York. If you like what you hear, please consider becoming a member of WBAI or renewing if you've already joined. Basic membership is $25, but we accept any amount. Help us keep free speech alive.